Blog Talk Radio.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave
victory. unto Jesus.
Yes, we will rise. Yes, we will rise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. When he called our name, we will rise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. What a good God. None like him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. We thank the Lord for his love, his mercy that endureth forever. Hallelujah. We can always, hallelujah, trust him, trust his love, and trust his mercy, because he is good and his love endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Praise to Jesus. I am excited tonight for, hallelujah, let me start from the beginning. And for me to start from the beginning, I will have to start with Jesus. You get it? Start from the beginning. Start with Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. He is the beginning of all things. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful for Jesus and for what he done on the cross. My brother and sister, his love and his mercy are so awesome. And everything he promised in his word, he fulfilled. And that's what we are going to experience in short time or in no time. I mean, everything is so close, my brother and sister. And praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may say, brother, how do you know that everything is so close? Well, I was in the millennium and I was in heaven walking. Okay, so I'm going to share my experience. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't have a cold. Let me see. Something probably changed. I don't know. I'm going to check and see. Okay, can you hear me better? Let me know if you can hear me better. I don't know if something changed. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, Lord. I apologize if anything changes. Not my intention. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Let me see if I can make it better. Thank you, Lord. Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Okay, let me go ahead. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. And thank you, Lord. Make sure that everything sounds better. You let me know. Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much. Praise you, God. Sound like Netanyahu. Amen. Shalom to the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, for that victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because I tell you, that was a victory that surprised everyone. Amen. There's so much going on, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Amen. That was a great victory, Benjamin Netanyahu, God in Israel, my brother and sister. And we pray. God answer our prayer one more time, one more day of victory for the church, for everyone that have been praying for Israel. We can see, my brother and sister, how God is so merciful, how God is so good, and has given us another great victory, my brother and sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm just giving time for my brothers and sisters to log in, for more people to log in before I begin to share. Praise you, Lord, because I know what I have to share is exciting. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. God is so awesome. He is so good. Hallelujah. He always has fresh manna for us. God always has fresh manna from heaven, the bread of angels. That's what manna was, the bread of angels. He gave it to his people. He will always have the bread of angels to give to us, my brother and sister. Why? Because he loves us. Amen. And his love is agape, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Okay, Revelation, thank you, Jesus, chapter 2 is where I begin to title this. Praise the Lord, and some of you will get it. You will get why is this title. Amen. Revelation chapter 2 says, 2:10, fear none of the things which thou shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Okay? He says for us to be faithful unto death, and he will give us the crown of life, my brother and sister. When we think about dying, we think about when our time comes, we die. But we don't think about that being faithful unto death is being willing to die for the Lord, my brother and sister. And as a sheep, we are sheep because of their meat, are always counter to the slaughter, my brother and sister. They're always being raised to be killed, okay? You see, the Lord as a lamb, he was killed because they ate lamb and they ate sheep. And we are sheep, and the Lord was a lamb, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So, thank you, God. It was until death that he was faithful to the Father. In his example for us in the last days, we always have to remember, how did Jesus live? How did he walk? How did he spoke? How did he behave? One of the things is his faithfulness to Father God. And we are being called to be like unto our master, unto our Lord, our rabbi. Faithful unto death, my brother and sister. So the Lord says to the church, fear none of the things that thou shalt suffer. Don't fear the things that you are going to suffer. And a lot of people will say, that's easy to say. That is easy to say, not to fear the things you're going to suffer. Because you don't know how much you're going to suffer and how you are going to die. The Lord don't want you to worry about how you are going to die or what you are going to suffer in the days to come. Everything is at hand, and it's in the hand of God. Our lives is in the hand of God. Time, future, this earth is in the hand of God. Everything is at hand, the hand of God, the hand of Jesus. God plans our lives, and we don't know how we're going to die, if we are going to die, because some of us are appointed to the rapture, the departure. Some of us will be changed and will be transformed, my brother and my sister. To the glory of God, however our life will be in the days to come before we go home, let it be for the glory of God, my brother and my sister. But he's calling us to be unfaithful until death, because he showed us his faithfulness on the cross. And God has shown us his faithfulness on keeping us alive and protecting us and delivering us from all wickedness and evil planned against us. My brother and sister, he has kept us. He has protected us. He has delivered us. No matter what our enemy has planned against us, the Lord has been faithful to keep us. My brother and sister, now he wants us to have this in our heart, what was in the heart of Christ, to be unfaithful unto death, he says. Behold, watch out for, or look for, or look. The devil shall cast some of you in prison. No one wants to go to prison. But if we do, let it be under the will of God. Let it be the will of God. That ye may be tried. For what reason you're going to be going to prison, or you may be going to prison, and it's to be in tried, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And our faith that is more precious than gold would be tried. It is being tried, has been tried. All glory be unto the Lord, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness. That you shall have, tribulation for 10 days, my brother and sister. Where do these 10 days come from? Where is the foundation of being tried for 10 days? Where does the 10 come from? They say that 10 is an earthly related to man, my brother and sister. But when you go to the Genesis, Genesis 8, 5, the Bible says that the Bible says that the water decreased continuously for 10 months. And the 10th month, hallelujah, on the first day of the month, the top of the mountains was seen, my brother and sister. So when 10 months had passed, God did not went beyond the 10th with Noah and his family, because they were being tried and tested through what they were going through, my brother and sister. So their test was not going beyond 10th. At the 10th month enough, the water began to subside. The mountain began to come up, my brother and sister. That was enough. Noah and his family could not take any more after 10. My brother and sister. Beloved, how do you know this? Well, I'm going to keep reading. Thank you, Lord. Praise to God. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:13. They have no temptation taking hold of you, but such is common to men. But God is faithful, that he will not suffer you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. But with the temptation, he will also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I still got more verses. Hold on. Hold on. Thank you, Lord. So these testing, these trial, these temptations that Noah and his family were going through, wondering what was going to happen, my brother and sister, did not went beyond 10. In Revelation 2:10, says that our temptation, our trial, will not go beyond 10, neither, my brother and sister, because God, they have no temptation to take a hold of you, but such it is a common to men, and they will get a hold of you. It will come to you. Unavoidable, but it's common to men. It will not take you beyond what you can withstand, your face, your trial. It will not. Look to Jesus and know and understand that whatever God is allowing you to go through, you already have the victory, my brother and sister. You and I have the victory already. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He is faithful. Luke 22:46. This is how you will stand the temptation when you're going through. And he said unto them, a rabbi, our Lord Jesus, why sleepeth ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that every day brings its own trouble, and it's unavoidable. So if you and I are going to go through difficult times, temptation, and trial, his advice to you and I is, go through it in prayer. Go through it in prayer. Rise and pray. Get up and pray. Okay? Lots of people say, stop what you're doing and pray. Okay? Let prayer, while you're going through the difficult time, you will find out that if your household, your family, your marriage goes into a difficult time, a trial, if you learn to pray every time you do, you are going to learn to have victory always. You're going to learn the secret hidden by thousands and millions of years that Jesus in his own life shows us how to overcome temptation through prayer. In Gethsemane, this is what Jesus did. He prayed. He didn't like that his disciples fell asleep, because they were with him. They will also go through the same trial and temptation. Not the same as the Lord, but similar. Because he's not going to give what Jesus could carry. He was not going to give Peter, John, and Matthew and them, because he knew they could not carry what he carried. They could not carry the cross. Only Jesus can carry the cross, my brother and sister. When he comes to them, he finds them, Cephas, Peter. Hallelujah. He found them asleep. That means that in the time when we should be praying that the devil is coming against us, my brother and sister, we are falling asleep. And the Lord says, no, arise and pray. Pray. Take the time to pray. Shalom, Sister Luna. Take the time to pray. Take the time, my brother and sister, to seek the Lord. In the more difficult moment, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Hallelujah, because that's how Jesus taught us. That's his example to us, my brother and my sister, to pray. Hallelujah. Be thou faithful until death, he says. Hallelujah. Knowing that being faithful unto God is until death. Hallelujah. It has to be in our mind and our heart that whatever happens to us from now to going to heaven, it doesn't matter how we get there. The important part is that we get there, because a lot of Christians are going to be arrested and thrown in jail. The Lord showed me being thrown in a FEMA camp with my family, an example. And I pray it will not happen. Thank you, Lord. But if God does allow it, and we do end up, I hope in the Lord that I will be faithful still. My brother and sister, I've been in jail for the Lord. And when I say I've been in jail for the Lord, I've been in a level 6 prison for the Lord. What was I doing there? Why I was going to prison for over 7 years as a volunteer to preach the gospel, to lead men to Christ, my brother and sister. And the same feeling they had, I felt it, being behind bars. The only thing is, at the end of the day, the steel door were open for me to get out and go back home with my family. And they had to stay overnight. But all day long, we will be together for hours, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. By the end of the 7 years, I felt that I was in prison like them, because I was truly there. As they signed, hallelujah, that they were present there, because it's required, I will also have to sign that I was present there, my brother and sister. The same metal door that kept them in prison, in a level 6 prison, was keeping me in there. I was not allowed to come out of there unless the guard would give signal to the other guard to open the steel door, my brother and sister. Shame, steel door, only opened by a remote computer, my brother and sister. Level 6 prison. Hallelujah. I was in there sharing the gospel with them every week, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. So going to prison doesn't scare me. Hallelujah. Being behind bars doesn't scare me. I was there volunteer for many years, my brother and sister, for the love of the Lord. Things that really make the Lord very happy that I did for him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because that's where, hallelujah, when you love the Lord will send you to do things uncommon to men. Amen. It doesn't make sense for someone to go to jail voluntarily, my brother and sister, for the Lord. But when you love the Lord, you do whatever the Lord asks you. You have to be faithful unto death. Hallelujah. So what else can scare you? Nothing. Nothing. So the Lord says for us not to worry what we are going to suffer. He says, and he is the price, and I will give you the crown of life. Thank you, Lord. I will give you the crown of life. Thank you, Jesus. I was going through difficult trial this week. Hallelujah. But I kept going with the Lord in prayer overnight. It don't matter. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, whether I can or not, hallelujah, the Lord gives me the strength, because the Lord is my helper. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I began to ask the Lord to take me to heaven. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I say, Lord, take me to heaven or the millennium. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord is so awesome. He wanted to show me something that we spoke here on the Lord's Hour for years now, that when we are in the millennium, how is it going to be about us coming to the earth again and then going back? Hallelujah. Amen, sister. Going back to heaven. How is that going to be? The Lord wanted to show me how is that going to be, because he's going to give us the blessing hallelujah, are going back to heaven. But I noticed that not everyone will have the same blessing. For whatever reason, it might be people coming out of the Great Tribulation that will be headed for Christ going to the millennium. They may not, and this is because of what I've seen, my brothers and sisters, I don't know all the detail of this, but what the Lord has shown me. Hallelujah. He takes me to heaven, and immediately I'm in the third heaven, third level. I'm walking in the street of gold. My brother and sister, I am, at this moment, the glory of Father, of God, is going through me. My brother and sister, hallelujah, like the Niagara Fall, so strong from every side into my life. I was in total peace. I was in total joy. I was in total presence of Father, of God, my brother and sister. No worry, no concern, nothing. But this time, hallelujah, I had a friend waiting for me. My friend Daniel. I believe I share about my friend Daniel who's in heaven, a young boy. He was a crippled boy who was in a wheelchair in his last day before he died serving the Lord. And he died. I met Daniel on earth before he died. And was so happy to meet him, and he was so happy to meet me. And we call each other friend. When the Lord took me to see Brother Daniel years ago in heaven, his house is near the lake. This is when he said, Elby, my friend, you see my house that the Lord has given me and my parents. And I'm like, I'm looking at the house, but then I'm thinking, well, his parents are still on the earth. But he said that the Lord has given him the house to him and his parents. And I look at his house and I said, Daniel, at this time he was not in a wheelchair anymore like he was. My brother and sister, he was walking. He has beautiful legs. God had made him whole, completely healed. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, he was standing. He was walking. My brother and sister, I said, Daniel, my friend, well, this is amazing. He said, the Lord is so good, Brother Elvie. Look what he's given us. He's so merciful. Look at the house. Look at everything he's given us. He had a boat with him, next to his house, close to a lake. And as we were talking, he got into his boat and began to go on the water, rejoicing. He spends a lot of time doing different activity in heaven. But it's because on earth he was paralyzed from his waist down, my brother and sister. In heaven now he's walking and running. The things that he could not do on earth, God is allowing him to do in heaven. And he's rejoicing. He's a young man. Every time he sees me, he calls me my friend Elvie. He sees me. He's waiting for me. Third heaven, third level. He says, my friend Elvie again. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. But before I came to Daniel, Jesus was speaking to me. Because I had asked the Lord to speak to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus says, my son, you can ask me to bring you to this place, and I will bring you to this place. But he was talking to me about when we come down to the millennium, he was confirming something that I wanted to share. And it's that when we are in the millennium, how do we go back to the third heaven, third level? We just got to ask Jesus. If you ask me to come back to this place, because, hallelujah, I will bring you here, he says. And he was showing me the millennium on earth, the new earth. Wow, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can come to this place, he says. I'm walking in tremendous glory. But I have so much question. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Remember what I share, that only Jesus sacrificed me? You can show me mansions in heaven. You can show me animals that fly. You can show me buildings and rivers and lakes. And I say, yeah, that's okay. I want to see Jesus. Only him makes me happy and rejoice. And God Almighty, my brother and sister, the rest are just things. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. But Brother Elvin, let's go see this museum. There are things that Esther, Moses, how did, I'm sorry, I want to go see Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So my friend Daniel is walking with me in the third heavens, and we're walking in the golden street. We're having a conversation, him and I. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He was talking to me about his family. We were talking about being friends and coming together and spending time together. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And there are things that I know I cannot share tonight, that I was talking with him. Hallelujah. Because for some reason, God don't want me to talk about it tonight. But then let me tell you, the Lord brought me back into the millennium from the third heaven. And I'm there. I'm with a group of sisters and brothers from the Lord Tower. Hallelujah. And the Lord wanted me to share something with them, my brother and sisters. I had a Bible in my hand, and I said to them, I want to share something with you about faith in the millennium. We were all in the millennium, a group of brothers and sisters from here for the Lord Tower. Hallelujah. I believe either about 50 or 60, around those number there. I didn't count them, my brother and sister. And I said, follow me. And it was like a lake in front of me in the millennium. It was a large river. And I said, follow me to the river. Hallelujah. Remember back in the Dominican Republic, when I die under the water, part of my testimony, there was something similar to that in the millennium, under the water. And I said to my brothers and sisters in the millennium, I want to show you faith in action. Thank you, Lord. That whatever limitation we have because of the physical limitation that we have on the earth, by faith, we don't have that limitation. When we walk by faith, we don't have these limitations. And my brothers and sisters were looking at me, standing there. And I said, look, what I'm able to do by faith. And I jumped into the water, and there was like a ladder under the water, like about 9 feet under the water. And the ladder, it was tight enough that my body would not fit physically through the ladder under the water. To be in 9 feet under the water, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Without limitation on not being able to go through the ladder, I said, I'm going to show you what we can do by faith. And I jump on there, and I believe I can go through it like Jesus walking through the wall. And I went through the ladder and went and swam upside. And everyone there standing was like, Brother Elvie, how do you do that? I said, by faith, you can do it. Just as the Lord walked through the wall in the midst of his disciple. My brother and sister, he is the great example. It's not you and mine. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about Jesus. Remember, he already showed us first the example on how to walk for God, how to live by faith, how the righteous, he says, shall walk by faith, the Lord says. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And Jesus wanted me to share this with my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. That the limitation we have in our body, in our physical body, by faith, we don't have those limitations if we walk by faith. But this is a walk with God where we are learning, and he is revealing himself to us every single day as we seek him. This is why a lot of people have a lot of questions. But you know how a lot of questions are answered in God? With a lot of prayer, my brother and sister. There might be that you have a million questions that you want to ask me in person. I will tell you, hold up those questions and ask Jesus in prayer to reveal it to you. Because he can reveal it to you on a level that is impossible for me and any man to explain them to you. My brother and sister, God has no limitation. With God, Jesus said, all things are possible. My brother and sister, we are full of limitation. But by faith, we will overcome those limitations in Christ, our Lord. My brother and sister, hallelujah. as I'm looking at the millennium, and I'm looking at the river, and I'm looking how clear the water is, how beautiful the mountain, the air, hallelujah, how our life very soon is going to be totally different, as the Lord was showing me, that we are practically there, that this life, my brothers and sisters, we haven't realized, but this life is becoming part of our past that we are not going to remember and that it will not even come to mind. We're going into a new life with the Lord where everything is new. Jesus said, I make all things new. My brothers and sisters, we're going to learn to live, to walk by faith, as the Word of God says. My brother and sister, 100%. Hallelujah. By the time we walk completely 100% by faith, we're going to walk, my brother and sister, we're going to turn into eagle and dove and fly away. We're going to turn into lion and fly away. My brother and sister, when we completely in heaven walk by faith. Hallelujah. But this is a process. And it begins on this earth. It begins down here. Hallelujah. That with God, Jesus said. With God, he taught his disciples in Bible study. All things are possible. That is by faith, my brothers and sisters. And we can only learn this mystery by walking close with him and asking him to explain these things to us little by little. Because at once it may shock us, some people say. Little by little, he is patient. He is loving. He has an eternity to teach us. But in a few thousand years, you and I will be flying in the sky to heaven. Like lightning, we will move. Faster than light, we will move, my brother and sister. We will fly like eagle in heaven. We will disappear from the presence of someone and move to another galaxy in less than a second. By faith, my brother and sister, we will completely understand what is to walk by faith and not by sight. That just to believe God, that God is our rewarder of them that genuinely seek him. That in heaven, God rewards his believer. God rewards his children. God rewards his angel. God rewards his creation every single day. There is a reward coming from the throne of Father to his creation, to the angel, to the redeemed, to the spirit, to everyone who's serving him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He lets them know his love, his agape, great love, unexplainable love, hallelujah, is available for us, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm looking in heaven, at the heavens of heavens, how beautiful they are, made by God with the glory of God, my brother and sister. And being brought back to the millennium, all I can think of is the trial that we're going through on this earth are only preparing us for that great eternity, are only preparing us for our new lives, that is by faith. My brother and sister, repent and pray down and unbelief. It helps us so much. It just helps us so much. Repenting our sins and pride every day, it helps us so much. Seeking the Lord, spending that personal time with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. It's so special. It is so special. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's so much God wants us to have. Hallelujah. But we are not ready for so much. Hallelujah. But he wants to give it to us. He wants to. We're not making him. No one is making him because he loves us. He made us. My brother and sister, as we come to him and ask him to teach us. Rabbi, Lord, teach me. Reveal me. Lord, help me to understand your plan for my life. Help me to understand, Lord, what you have for me ready. Lord, prepare me to receive what you have for me, oh Lord. If we pray this way every day, asking the Lord to prepare our life, prepare us heart, to prepare our mind, to prepare us to receive what he has for us, he will do so. A lot of Christians are so afraid of the trial and tribulation. My brother and sister, that's all they think all day long. Why don't they don't commit their lives to the Lord? Why don't they fast? Why don't they pray? Why don't they seek the Lord as they should, and they know they should? It's because they're afraid of the testing, the trial, what people may say is part of the trial. Their family rising against them is part of the tribulation. They don't like that. They want to serve God and be loved by everyone. Well, that's not the way it is, because Jesus, hallelujah, was loved by God and by his disciples, but hated by the Pharisee and hated by the scribe. They wanted to kill him. That's how much they hated him, my brother and sister. And that was okay for the Lord. As long as he was doing the will of the Father, he didn't care how much they hated him, how much they wanted to kill him. He just wanted to please Father. My brother and sister, no matter what will cost him, being hated by all, by being loved by God, that's what really mattered to him. My brother and sister. And Paul says to Timothy that we will have the mind of Christ. If we have to have the mind of Christ, we have to be thinking like him. As long as I'm seeking the will of God, I don't care if the world hate me, if the world reject me, if the world don't want to hear what I have to say. It doesn't matter. As long as my Father, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. As long as my Father is pleased with my life, that's what matters. If we have the mind of Christ, what was in his heart, what was in his mind, what he did every day, my brother and sister, we are going to receive God's promise. Hallelujah. So the Lord says to John, fear none of the things which thou wilt suffer. Don't fear them. Don't be afraid that you are going to suffer these things. Don't be afraid of what you're going to suffer. The devil's going to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. Your suffering will go on for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. This crown of life, once you get it, is yours forever. You don't lose it, my brother and sister. It's a crown that is significant of you and I reigning with Christ. When you get this crown, you will go into heaven, you get the crown, you celebrate the wedding, then if you're coming down to the millennium, you're coming down to reign with Christ because you have a crown. As king and priest for the Lord, Revelation 1. That's what we are going to be. Because now you have a crown. You are a queen or a king with Christ. That's why he is Lord of lords and king of kings. Because he's going to have many kings with him, my brother and sister. He's going to have many that are going to, under in his name, lead many. Hallelujah. Lead many to him. Command many to seek him and obedient to him. My brother and sister, lords of many, kings of many that are going to reign with him in the millennium for 1,000 years. His plan is for all eternity that his people are going to reign with him. But there is the last trial, which is the millennium. My brother and sister, so many are coming from the valley. Great multitude are coming from the earth from the great tribulation. People remember the bride disappearing. Millions of children disappearing. It will awaken the Jewish people in Israel and all over the world. But it's all going also to awaken a world of people that are sleeping, billions of them, right now that are sleeping, that those are not seeking the Lord, are not repenting, but God wants to save many of them. And when the church is gone, which is about to happen, my brother and sisters, going into the great tribulation, they are going to remember that they heard the church for many years, hundreds and thousands a year, preaching about this rapture departure of the bride of Christ. It will be in the back of their mind, and the Lord will remind them of them that he wants to save. It will be in their memory. I saw this in the millennium, and one of the young men that the Lord sent me to speak to in the millennium, in his mind, he remembered the church disappearing. And when the Lord sent me to him, he says, Elvi, I remember you from the Lord's hour. And I finally, like, wow, I didn't know if people on the earth remember the Lord's hour. I guess there are people around the world who listen, and some that have listened and walked away. So I remember, what are you doing here? And I said to him, the Lord has sent me to speak to you. He said, how can I forget you people? The church of Jesus disappearing, going with him. It's in our memory. We cannot forget, he said. Every day I think about this. Hallelujah. And I also want to be saved. And I said, the Lord has a plan to save you. Oh, but you don't believe how hard this is, Brother Elvie. This is really hard. Our life here in the Great Tribulation, he says, is so difficult. It's so hard. We got to be running and hiding. They're seeking to kill us every day, every hour. Anyone wants to kill us. Anyone wants to turn us into the government. The FBI has the Christian, especially the leaders, hallelujah, wanted, hallelujah, dead or alive, my brother and sister, and they prefer death so they don't have to kill, they don't have to deal with people. Hallelujah. Dead or alive, Christians are being hunted by the FBI, hallelujah, by the CIA, hallelujah, by the government agency. And your name is on top of the list, Elvis. It didn't matter to me. I was earning heaven. Praise you, Lord, visiting the Great Tribulation. Hallelujah. If anyone see you right now, they'll recognize you. And they'll come for you. And that's the way it was. As we were speaking in the parking lot, some of the people saw me. Is that who I think it is? I saw his face in the FBI Most Wanted. That's Elvis Zapata. Oh, man. And the whole multitude began to chase me. As Sister Celestial, as Jesus revealed to Sister Celestial, my brother and sister, Christians are going to be wanted in the Great Tribulation by the government. Want to either hunt them, kill them, or imprison them. Remove them from the population. My brother and sister, that everything that the Christian has been speaking about, their teaching must be removed. It's already in law, placed in law, that they must be removed. My brother and sister, our governments, our city, our county, they all, my brother and sister, hallelujah, are coming agreement that any Christian should be arrested or killed, shot, my brother and sister. So any Christian alive that proclaim to be a Christian, and people are so evil, that I noticed they go around, are you a Christian? And I saw some of the people, no, I'm not, look, and show the person the mark. That's another thing I saw. We're asking a guy there, he was walking or behaving like a Christian, and some of the people said, are you a Christian? Are you? And the guy was showing the mark, no, look. And he was denying God right there. I'm like, oh. My brother and sister, they're so afraid of the authority. They're so afraid of being going to jail, being shot or anything. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say again? Be faithful until death. Well, these people don't want to die. They prefer to deny the Lord who saved them, says the Bible. The Lord who went to the cross for them. They're so afraid of the police, of the FBI, of the CIA, of any agent of the government that can kill them or shoot on them or persecute them or throw them in jail. Be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, Jesus said. My brother and sister, forget about what they can do to your body, that they cannot do to your soul, Jesus said. My brother and sister, you got to understand that this is life or death right before us in the last days. And things are still okay. Everything has changed, but things are still okay. But once the judgment began and depopulation severely come, now, look at this. September 23rd of this month, diesel in the United States is going to run out. My brother and sister, hallelujah. You can look it up on, hallelujah, on the Energy Department webpage. Okay? Diesel is going to run out in the United States. Here's the thing. Any trucks, any vehicle, after September 23rd, that decide to deliver diesel without Homeland Security will not be allowed. When I heard this, this is all planned. It is all planned. My brother and sister, hallelujah. They want to end up, and Biden wants to release diesel from the government supply. You know how long, if you release diesel one day for the whole country, it's only going to run for 9 hours. After that, no more diesel. That's all they have in backup diesel. That if he decides to release diesel, for the whole country will be for 9 hours. Okay? Our energy companies, our power company need diesel for the truck to pick up coal from the coal mine and bring it to the company so they can keep running our electricity. They're not, those vehicles that run a diesel are not going to be able to deliver coal, my brother and sister, for our electricity to keep running. Do you see the emergency? The trucks that use a diesel to deliver food to the supermarket are not going to be able to deliver food to the supermarket because they don't have diesel for that, my brother and sister. The mess already been planned. The depopulation that we've been talking about is around the corner. It is around the corner, my brother and sister. All this plan that they have, hallelujah, because in the winter, if people don't have heat for their home, you know how many elderly and children can probably die? Millions. My brother and sister, what coronavirus did not do, the winter can do it. It's been proven in the past, my brother and sister, and they know it doesn't fail. There's a temperature drop in this northern state of the United States. In the month of December and January, the 2 months that the country may have no diesel for the building, for the elder, for the children, can you imagine the amount of people that could die? It is terrible, my brother and sister, but it's all planned. And no company can deliver to the 23rd diesel without Homeland Security approval, which they're not going to approve. It's the plan. The plan is that when a company says we have diesel, we wanted to deliver Homeland Security, it's going to say park your truck and you do not dare to move your truck because we will have agents in the main highway. And if you do, they will shoot to kill. My brother and sister, it is planned. It is planned. God help us. But did not the Lord have been saying to his prophet that this was coming? Did not the Lord say that a severe winter is coming? A grievous winter was coming. Did he not say to his prophet for us to prepare with emergency food supply, candles, flashlight, and whatever you can, my brother insisted. He warned us for months, for years back, if we go back years and we go to the archive, and we pull out all these prophecies, and we sit there for hours to hear these prophecies. We will hear the voice of the Lord say, my children, prepare. Hallelujah. For a planned, wicked, evil winter that is about to come where my children will have to go through. My brother and sister, will their plan and depopulation? My brother and sister, it is terrible. It is terrible, the trials and testing that are in front of us. But the Lord is saying to us to be faithful until death, my brother and sister. If some people that listen to us in the north find themselves with no heat, with no power, and they're dying every hour of the winter because the temperature drops below zero in New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut, hallelujah, Pennsylvania, hallelujah, and they're listening to the Lord's hour, and they're dying slowly, my brother and sister, be faithful until death. Give glory to the Lord, for whatever we go through. Whether we live or die, we will be with the Lord, my brother and sister. Been asking the Lord now for days. Lord, confirm to me what's going to happen when the diesel run out in the end of November and December and January. Lord, reveal me, please. What is going to happen so I can share with my brothers and sisters? And it was like, you're not going to be, he did not allow me to see from the 23rd to January what is going to happen. Because what is going to happen is we need to endure. We need to persevere. Well, what's going to happen in those 10 weeks, my brother and sister, Noah endured 10 months. Revelation said 10 days. We got 10 weeks in front of us of no heat, no diesel, maybe no food delivery, and the power companies are planning to cut down power in the main city and just to provide power to hospital, emergency, hallelujah, places, ambulance, hallelujah, and these emergency that they have because with the little coal they're going to have to keep running the plant, the power plant, my brother and sister, is not enough coal, and the trucks will not be able to deliver them. And they cannot send the truck to get more because without Homeland Security approval, they cannot do so. And they're not getting approval. This is all planned. I'm studying the whole thing. I'm seeing. I'm reading about it. I'm listening to people. I'm listening to media. I'm listening to the news, what they have to say, what Kamala has to say, what Biden has to say, what they have to say about it. They don't care. My brother insisted that maybe millions of children and elders are going to die. So have enough blanket in your house. My brother insisted. Try to buy propane tank if you can. I know propane heater in your house. Many homes is not ready for run propane heater. Try to prepare yourself and your family as much as you can. Because this is all planned. Without Homeland, hallelujah, approval, no truck can deliver until the 23rd. All the way to January. I'm listening to companies who think that they may be getting to start running this stuff back, diesel back in the U.S. in February. My brother and sister. So they want people to go through the whole winter without it. This is not good. Things are changing. I don't want to be here in 2024. But if we are here, it's going to be very difficult. I share with people that I saw the Lord a few weeks ago pointing to December of this year. What was he pointing to? I didn't know what the Lord was pointing to, but he was pointing. I saw Jesus, he had a calendar for this year, and he was pointing to the month of December. I don't know whether it was for the earthquake in California. I don't know if it was, what was the Lord pointing to me a few weeks ago? December, December, December. And now I'm starting to get the idea of what he was pointing to. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Yes, seven is perfect. And the seven were gone. The Lord knows which seven it is. And the seven were gone. But there are 10 days of trial and testing that we must endure, that we must be faithful unto death. My brother and sister, yes, we are close to the seven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are so close to the seven. Seven means fulfillment. We are at the time where God fulfilled the time for the bride of Christ. The time and grace end in seven, and in seven we disappear because we're only here for the time of grace that is about to, my brother and sister, change. The only reason why Benjamin Netanyahu is coming back into office as a prime minister, it is because Israel is getting ready to go to war with Iran, and they believe that no one knows Iran more than Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu will put a coalition asking other nations, because no one more than Israel than him, and Ariel Sharon, the former leader that passed away in Israel, has been able to gather the nation to defend himself from Iran and many other Arab nations. Benjamin Netanyahu, they believe, the Jewish people believe, that he has that grace, my brother and sister, to ask help from the United States, from Germany, from France, and gather a coalition of planes where Israel will be protected from the attack of Iran. Because Israel had learned that Iran had developed a very good missile program, where they have hundreds of thousands of missiles that can hit in Israel and Tel Aviv and Jerusalem in any corner at any time, easily. My brother and sister. Now, the Dome of the Rock that they had, last time they were tested last year in 2021, did not protect them as they thought it would. It only protected them about 70%+ at all the missile that was being sent that hit buildings in Tel Aviv. My brother and sister. So having Benjamin Netanyahu back into office, he believed that they will have a stronger umbrella of the protection, my brother and sister, and that he will gather a coalition from all the nations of planes and weapons and people and soldiers, where Israel will be better protected if Iran, my brother and sister, if they have to fight Iran. And they know, they have said it many times, they have no choice but to go to war with Iran. Iran has gathered Egypt, Pakistan, and many other nations to get themselves ready. They have made a Tamu Psalm 83, a group of army Iran army with very advanced missile and drones, which they're being tested in Ukraine right now. And a lot of those drones that Iran sent to Russia to be used in Ukraine are demolishing Ukraine. They're demolishing federal buildings and buildings of the populations, my brother and sister, to pieces, to dust. And those drones, which Iran wanted to test in Ukraine, are being tested there, my brother and sister, very successful against anything United States, France, and Germany sent to Ukraine to defend themselves from all the drones that Russia was sending in. Well, Iranian drones are being very successful there. And those are the drones that they're going to use against Israel that they've been building for years, that Obama and they helped them build with U.S. intelligence when he was in office. It's terrible, my brother and sister. Terrible, the things that are being planned. Hallelujah. But this Psalm 83 war now, the Benjamin is coming into office, can be within weeks from now. Because they believe what sooner Benjamin Netanyahu comes into office, within weeks, he is planning to go against Iran with everything they have. But Iran gave them last week a low blow, my brother and sister. When Iran, before the UN, made sure that the UN voted against Israel, that their nuclear weapons must be removed in Israel, my brother and sister. And if Israel, according to this UN resolution of 100 plus against five nations, my brother and sister, that if Israel don't comply, Israel will not be supported by the UN. And if Benjamin Netanyahu decide to go against Iran, no other nation that are part of the UN are supposed to back up Israel. So Israel right now is not in good standing with the UN. The UN have betrayed Israel again, as they have done many times, my brother and sister. But God is with Israel. Our God is with him. And the church is still on this earth to pray every day for the peace of Israel, for the protection of these people. My brother and sister, that God will rise in the right moment and fight for them. My brother and my sister. So everything in laws and weapons and all being put into place for Israel to be wiped away as a nation. It's what Iran and all the nations are planning. Wipe away the nation of Israel, where the nation of Israel, the name of Israel, will be no more. It's what they plan. They have made their own coalition already. And they think this time it cannot fail them. The drone is being proven that they can take on Israel now and in any time. My brother and my sister. But it doesn't matter how advanced they make the drone and weapons. Our God, no weapon can take him down. My brother and my sister, this is why prayer, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. The church is here. The church is here. We are not to be depending on weapon. We are to be depending on God, that he will fight for them in the moment, my brother and sister, they need it. Again, hallelujah, the UN has turned their back on Israel and are making Israel more vulnerable than ever, because now they want to force Israel to remove their nuclear weapon that they have used to keep their nation and base, a base, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But it doesn't matter if they get to remove them, because God is with Israel. And God's going to show his power in the days to come. So the Psalm 83 war is about to begin. Israel leader has said they have no choice but to attack Iran very soon. We're talking about weeks from now, maybe days. My brother and sister, one of the signs the Lord's given me, the word in Israel. The earthquake in California is about to happen, sadly to say. The eastern tsunami is about to happen. Some people that have dreamed about, like the brother was saying earlier, hallelujah, Brother Stroud, I believe it was, he was saying he had dreamed, hallelujah, about, hallelujah, earthquakes that are about to happen. Let me see if I know he put it in the chat room. Thank you, Lord. But these things are about to happen. And like him, many people, he said he had two dreams about severe earthquake in the southern part of California. To be most of going to the grocery store, price it was too high. No food available, just leftover bad food, but it was very expensive. Only, hallelujah. Brother Estrada, this is not the first time he had dreamed about things to come. I remember him weeks ago, months ago, sharing dreams that he had from the Lord. So it's something the Lord's been revealing to him, the dreams that are about to happen, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, he's not the only one. There are other thousands of brothers and sisters that the Lord has given them the dream from the eastern tsunami that is about to happen, from the earthquake in California that is about to happen, and that this war in Israel, my brother and sister, is about to go. What they were looking for on the first of this month, on November, getting Netanyahu back into office now, my brother and sister, as they did this week, is what they wanted. They believe he will be the leader that will represent them before the nations to get support. I don't think God wants them to get support from other nations. God never needed the help of anyone. My brother says everyone needed the help of God, but God had never needed the help of anyone. My brother says that he's going to show his power. The Lord has been saying to his prophet, he is going to show his power. The nation will see his power. My brothers and sisters, and the nation will know that he is God. Thank you, Lord. He is so good, and he is so awesome. And he loves us very much. Psalm 87, his foundation is the holy mountain. Notice that God, everything he established is based on his holiness. And based on everything being to his glory. Holiness, it's what he is. He is holy God, righteous and pure. The Lord loves the gate of Zion more than all the dwelling of Jacob. Israel, he had chose, my brother and sister, to be in his city. Jerusalem, from being the capital, his city, of the great king. And he loves the gate of Zion, Psalm 87, 2, more than all the dwelling of Jacob, my brother and sister, because Jacob dwelled in many places. But Jerusalem has been the place that God has chosen for his son, my brother and sister. Verse 3, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. Praise the Lord. This is the city of the great king that God is going to protect and deliver. Verse 5, in Zion shall be said, this is what men were born in her, and that the higher himself shall be established in her. This is where Messiah is coming to establish his kingdom, my brother and sister. And that the people, hallelujah, are going to come and speak with him face to face in the millennium. Verse 6, the Lord shall count when he weighed off the people that this man was born there. Hallelujah. Everything about us, including our weight, the Lord will count. He weighed off the people. Hallelujah. I wonder how much people wait and how much of them he's going to wait. My brothers and sisters, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So every ounce of Christ in us is going to be shown in the millennium. My brothers and sisters. Verse 7. Singers as well as players, an instrument shall be there and say, all my spring are in thee. What are they doing? They're giving the glory to Jesus. They're giving the glory to God. Everyone is recognizing that if it wasn't for the Lord, we would not be, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. People will give him glory. People will praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy 2:11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, and if we shall also live with him. In other words, nothing that we are, hallelujah, we can be without him. We are because he is. As I live it, you also live, said Jesus. We live because he lived. We are because he is, my brother and sister. And when we are in the millennium with him, hallelujah, we will be like him. And we will represent him. And we will go through all the earth like him. We will move in the spirit of thought like him. We will go through war. We will do mighty things because he is God and he's able to do all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's an awesome God. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince over the king of the earth, and unto him that love us and watch us from our sin in his own blood. We are because he is, my brother and sister. We live because he liveth. Thank you, Lord. We will be, hallelujah, we are in God because he is in God. As he is, we will also be revealed in the days to come. My brother and sister, God has an eternal plan. And God's going to reveal his plan to his church, his people. My brother and sister, it's going to be mighty what our eyes are going to see. Thank you, Lord. The prophet Samuel prophesied and said in Samuel 26:23, the Lord render unto every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. Hallelujah. For the Lord delivers thee to my hand today. But I will not stir for my hand against the Lord anointed. David recognized the Lord in every of his brother and sisters. And he said he will not raise his hand against the Lord anointed. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, our hand is to worship God. Hallelujah. We are to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord. My brother and sister, if someone render accusation against the brother and sister, pray, intercede for them, and say, Lord, have mercy. Help my sister. Help my brother, Lord, with the struggle. Whatever they're struggling with, help them, Lord. Help them to overcome anything, Lord, that they're struggling with, whatever temptation, whatever situation they're going through, Lord, help them. Help them. If you pray every day for your brothers and sisters, know that when your tribulation and trial comes, you will have total victory because God always repay his for whatever they have done. Jesus said, their reward is according to what they have done. Jesus said, my brother and sister, in Revelation 21, your reward, if you pray for your brothers and sisters in the day of their temptation, in the day of their difficulty, for whatever they're going through, lack of money, hallelujah, lack of help, whatever health, whatever they're going through, whatever they're lacking, if you pray for the need of other people, when the time that you really need help, it will be available for you right away, and you will be shocked. You'll be like, what? I haven't even prayed for this situation, and God is already helping me. Because God repays faithfully. That's why we are taught not to speak evil against anyone, because God repays faithfully. And when you do something faithful for someone else of God, God, when you need it, when you most need it, he will repay you with good, with his goodness. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David said, Solomon said, my brother and sister, he will repay you with good. Right when you expect something to happen, order the sign, God repays you with good, overwhelming goodness. Thank you, Lord. He will be there for you when you more need it. Psalm 5:9, for there's no faithfulness in their mouth, an inward part of in the exceeding weakness, they throw an open sepulcher. They flatter with the tongue. This is what the wicked do. That God don't want us to behave wickedly like they do. Practice evil as they do. My brother and sister, no, we pray for mercy. We pray for God to help our brothers and sisters. Whatever it is, I have said for years, whatever you're going through that is so difficult, send me an email, zappa9999@gmail.com, and say, Brother Elby, I'm going through something difficult. Can you please pray for me? Praise the Lord. I have no problem praying for you, your situation. Thank you, Lord. And I'm sure the Lord is going to help you, because we have prayed for so many thousands and they have seen the Lord. Help them right away. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know why the Lord help us when we pray? Because when we love one another, that love goes in that prayer when we pray. It's simple. If you love your brother and sister, and your brother and sister are going through something, and they send you an email and say, can you please pray for my situation? What do? You go and pray like you're the one going through it. You say, Lord, have mercy for my sister. Have mercy for my brother. Help them, Lord, supply their need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Open the door. Help them. Help them. And the Lord helps them. People, I say, how is it, Brother Elby? We are praying, and the Lord, we ask him for prayer, and the Lord does it. Brother Elby, because if we love one another, it goes into that prayer. And that love, that prayer goes to heaven with that love that you have for your brother and your sister, and goes to the throne. And Father sees that, and see the love in that prayer, the care, like we are the one going through it ourselves. Like I'm going through what you're going through. Like I'm going through your pain that you're going through. When I pray this way, hallelujah, God sees that. The Lord says yes. The Lord says yes. God sees that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's the love that we have for one another that got to answer the prayer quickly. That's the secret for a prayer being answered quickly. When someone asks you for prayer, do you love them? Do you love them? Put that love in that prayer and watch what happens. Watch what happens. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sister says to me last week, Brother Elby, when you said that God had already answered our prayer, that the Lord in my spirit was confirming that in my spirit, I received that in me. She says, in my spirit, I was getting a witness of what you were speaking, Brother Elby. When you say, God already answered your prayer. Hallelujah. He already has. And the moment Daniel began to pray, it says that it was already answered. The answer was already given. The Lord has shown me this in heaven. When we ask at that very moment, he says, amen. It's yes. He already answered you for whatever you're asking him, a new home. Hallelujah. You asking the Lord that you want to move up here somewhere. He already said yes. He already said yes. All you got to do now is persevere in that prayer until he brings you what you're asking for. There is a battle for you not to receive. But God already answered you. Last week, the Lord showed me Satan. And I saw the devil with his hand. My brother and sister, hallelujah. He had an agenda. And that in those like books that he writes, it's programmed. I'm like, how to go against people. He keeps a record. He was using that. He was like in front of like a desk. He was using what he had in front of him. The Lord was showing him. I saw him. And I said, Satan, I began to rebuke him. Satan, the Lord rebuked me. And he kept doing it. He was trying to use whatever time he has. And I kept rebuking him until the Lord took him out, my brother and sister. But I saw him. Hallelujah. Someone says to me, Brother Elby, when you were saying this, I was getting a witness that when we confess something negative against ourselves, the devil uses that against us. The Lord gave her a witness. And she was telling me this. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what the Lord was showing me. If you confess that you're going to lose something, you're giving the devil something to use against you. Never confess bad health. Never confess bad economy of your life, bad situation. Hallelujah. Always believe that God will provide you according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Confess that. Don't confess being broke. Don't confess having nothing. Because you're giving the devil something to use against you. And the Lord convicted her of this. At the moment the word came out, she heard it went into her spirit and got convicted that she'd been confessing negative against herself and that the devil had been using that to attack her health, to attack her life. My brother and sister, everything negative that you confess against your finance, your health, your family, the devil will use that against you because you're confessing. That means you're not trusting the Lord in that area of your life. Remember that. We can have faith. It happens to me many times. We can be very strong in faith in one area of our life, but in another area we're weak. Then I began to pray. The Lord was like focusing me in his wisdom to know and understand that if we are weak in our area of our lives, we need to pray that the Lord will make us strong. We are not strong in every area, and that's what the devil was using against us. So what do we need to pray? We need to pray. We need to pray. Someone said that if you walk around, some people admire pastors, men of God that are being used by God, very powerful, and they always think that everything about their life is powerful. They don't imagine that man having any weakness in his life. But they said if you walk around that man and that woman for too long, you begin to learn about the weakness. And that's what the devil sends his demon around people to watch them from far. Learn all their weakness. What are the weakness they are, Satan? Satan said anything they confess against themselves is their weakness. Write that down and bring it to me, and we'll use that against him or her. Remember that. Anything you confess, okay? If you say that your marriage is going south, they're keeping notes of that to try to make your marriage go south, okay? Even if you say that your children are disobedient, keep notes of that. The devil keeps notes. The Lord was showing me the devil having binders. That's what he had. He had binders, and some were stacked on top of each other, okay? In this case, because he was coming against me, he had binders. And I counted about 6 or 7 binders he had, my brother and sister. And each page was full of information that he uses against us, my brother and sister. And those binders, he keeps everything negative we say, we speak. Anything negative we confess, my brother and sister. Any area of our life where we're struggling, but we have not asked the Lord for help. My brother and sister, I saw him. I saw him all these binders. And he had no care to use them against people. My brother and sister, he uses them. He uses them, my brother and sister, just like the serpent. Before he hunts a rat or a mouse, the serpent, the snakes, take her time starting the mouse, the rat, every single move. My brother and sister, hallelujah. And sometimes you can see the rat, you can see the mouse really close to the serpent, the snake. And the snake doesn't attack right away. And you're like, because I watch it in the animals channel. And you can see the snake so close to the animal. I'm like, why is the snake not struck in this animal? It's just a simple fool right there walking in front. Why is it not doing it? It's starting every single move. And when she tried to make a move, immediately the animal run. But she already has studied every step, every move, every eye, everything. And she goes straight to where she needs to get them quickly and gets them. They miss very little, my brother and sister, because they study their prey very well. My brother, that's what the serpent, the devil does. He studies us very well. And when we are walking in the power and we're praying, miracles are happening, things are happening, the devil said, wait, he's in that human body, wait until they come to the hour of temptation. Wait until they're alone and they're confessing negative and things are not going well. Wait for that. Wait until she loses her job. Or wait until she cannot find a job, okay, or a husband or a boyfriend, okay? Wait until she's there in the weak moment and attack right there. You never miss if you do that, the devil tell his demon. Okay? You'll get her right where you want her to be. She'll fall into alcohol. She'll fall into weed, into drugs. She'll fall into anything. He'll fall into weed. He'll fall into drugs. He'll fall into prostitution right in the moment of weakness. And that's why some people keep falling back into the same. Because that demon is not leaving them alone. They already know what the weakness is. So what do you do? That's when you present your witness in fasting and prayer before the Lord. And you say, Lord, I cannot hide from you. You already know my witness, Lord. You know already where I fought, Lord. Now, Lord, I present you in this fasting, my witness, that you will make me strong in my witness, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, Lord, for me to overcome this in your name, Lord Jesus. Help me. Help me, Lord. I will fast and pray for you to make me strong in this area. And every time, you can even ask the Lord to show you your witness. Same thing the devil see in you, the Lord can show you the witness. Okay? Ask the Lord. Years ago, I started asking the Lord to show me these things. He began to show me witness in my life that the devil was using against me. Because he uses your witness against you. And that's why you keep falling in your witness. Because this demon, it's a very skilled demon he uses to sin against you. If it's a demon of fornication, give you an example. The devil sent a specialized demon of fornication to attack you in the moment of your witness because he's very skilled. And he already started that you in a certain time of your life, in a certain day, in a certain hour where no one is looking, you like to fall in that area. And he sends that demon right at those moments of weakness in your life. And he's so skilled that when he comes and attack you, he'll make you fall into it again. But if you humble yourself before the Lord, and if you ask the Lord to make you strong in your witness, to help you in the time of your witness, oh, my brother and sister, in the time of temptation, as he said to his disciple, pray, pray, pray. Hallelujah. That's why Peter, when they came to Gethsemane to arrest Jesus, he took out his sword and cut the ear of the soldier. Why did Peter do that? Let me tell you why. Because Jesus had told Peter, Matthew, and them in Gethsemane to pray with him that the hour of temptation was approaching. But Peter and them fell asleep, my brother insisted, because Peter fell asleep when he should have been praying when the devil sent a demon. Hallelujah. When they were coming to arrest the Lord. Hallelujah. And Peter was asleep, and the Lord rebuked him for being asleep. Peter, hallelujah, when he found him asleep, he rebuked him. Remember the rebuke of Jesus, when you should be praying and you fall asleep. Hallelujah. My brother insisted, when the hour of temptation came, and they came to arrest Jesus, Peter was like blind. He was blinded by the whole fact of what was happening. Took out his sword and cut the ear of the soldier. You know what was the punishment for that? Death. Death, my brother and sister. But Jesus now, look at the mercy of Jesus. He's so merciful. Jesus healed the ear of the soldier. So they will have no proof to bring against Peter. The rest of the soldier and the soldier now, what will they bring before the king? Because they will have to arrest Peter, bring him before the king, bring the ear of the soldier and say, look what he did to the soldier. All right, take him back, kill him. That would have been the end of Peter. But the Lord wanted to use Peter, and Peter was his servant. He healed the ear of the soldier. My brother and sister, the soldier got saved because of the miracle. Peter got delivered from being killed by the miracle and the mercy of God. Praying to Jesus is the best thing you and I can do. Asking the Lord for help in the moment of temptation is the best thing you and I can pray and do. My brother and sister, because the hour of temptation, when it comes, right now, we're coming to the end of November. My brother and sister, I know someone said, we're not in the middle, brother, yet. We're coming to the end of November. November 23rd, America is going to begin to be tested. No diesel fuel to deliver food, to deliver coal for the company to keep the power running in every city and every state. Now, we're coming into a test that the Lord said it was coming. Hallelujah. And now we're a temptation and testing that Jesus said it will come upon all the world. Hallelujah. How are we going to go through this? My brother and sister, it will be difficult for those that have not been preparing. Biden and Kamala Harris are acting like they don't care. Even when the media asked him about how they're going to help the people, they changed the conversation. They talk about something else. That means they're saying, whatever happens when they run out of fuel on the 23rd, it's not our problem. It's their problem. My brothers and sisters, we serve the Lord. Now it's for us to pray and intercede. My brothers and sisters, God can supply our need according to his riches and glory. This is coming and it's around the corner. Now, my brother and sister, our faith is about to be tested. If you go in your house in this winter, temperature in the 20s and 30s, 2 or 3 days without any heat, how do you think your body's going to react, my brother and sister? Even with the best coat and the best carpet in your house, you will be shaking with cold, my brother and sister. It's not normal for your body to go through this time this way. They know this. The elite know this. They know this. But this is where we need to trust the Lord now. This is where our faith is going to be tested for 10 weeks straight, my brother and sister. This is looking to happen. Then establishing that any company that will deliver diesel or anything else will have to ask Homeland Security for approval. It tells you that this has been planned. This has been planned, my brother and sister. Go ahead, type it on your YouTube. Type it on YouTube, November 23rd, no diesel. And listen to all the information they're giving up. They're already calling it cold red. Cold red, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. It's what they're calling it already, starting on the 23rd of this month. Hallelujah. They're already warning people. This can be very serious. But it's not only in the United States. Europe is about to start a winter also, where many also state and country have no diesel too. They're blaming Ukraine. They're blaming Russia because the diesel that was coming to Ukraine for this country have been stopped by Russia, according to them. And that the only solution after this mess began to happen here and in Europe is for the United States and Europe to go to war with Russia. This is what the elites are planning. If they go to war, nuclear war with Russia, they don't have to worry about diesel because they think that if they destroy Russia, then it's easy to get the diesel from Ukraine back in the United States and Europe so people don't continue to die. It's how they're going to try to get the message to the Americans and the European, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Yes, my brother also is a truck deliverer in New Jersey. He uses a diesel truck every day, 6 days a week, to deliver food and supply to the different companies. My brother and sister, his company that delivered diesel in New Jersey for many truck companies there that they own, my brother and sister, they believe they have diesel until now, but after November 23rd, they don't know if they will have any more diesel in New Jersey. My brother and sister, by having Homeland Security approve any delivery after that, my brother and sister, it means that even whatever they have, whatever else they have, they're going to try to take that and say, no, the government is going to need it. We need it, not the people, just us. Okay? Look up the informations. Okay? Look at go to the energy department online on the website. It's all there. All the information is there. On the 23rd of this month, November, they're saying that they will not have enough diesel for the whole country. And whatever they have will be used for emergency use only. You know what that means, my brother and sister. And the companies like Duke Energy here up in the north are planning to shut down power in many cities and just leave it for the emergency supply. This is shocking. As I started to look for more information, okay, it's terrible. The 2 good years that Sister Celeste is talking about, she's talking about what the Lord showed me. Once the brightest goes, 2 years after the brightest gone, America will be nuked by Russia. Those are the 2 years. 2 years after is what she saw. And actually, what I saw was, not nuke. The economy is going to fall completely after 2 years, after the church is gone, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. This is all in the hand of the Lord. Only the Lord knows. But he showed me about 3 weeks ago, the economy falling 2 years after the church was gone. I knew that the church was in heaven already. And the economy, the stock market fell completely. It went straight to the Antichrist system, my brother and sister. But the church was gone. In the beginning of those 2 years, this country was already nuked. It was a mess everywhere. You couldn't go to any state, because certain states are going to be nuked directly, where like Washington, California, California will be in bad shape. But like New York, places that are really going to, they're going to my brother and sister, point out to, because you're going to get New York and California, the Eastern Tsunami, which will disable New York and many other states. But as they start getting together again, Russia and those countries are going to take advantage of the mess here and take it over with China and them. My brother and sister, this mess that is coming, the church will not experience this mess. I know that a lot of people have seen it in dreams that there's still Christians on the earth. Well, I saw Christians still at the end of the Great Tribulation, my brother and sister. Why? Because these are Christians that are staying behind. The same that talks about in Revelation 13, when the manifestation of the Antichrist is here, and he'll manifest himself as a man of sin ruling the world, my brother and sister. There's still a lot of Christians here, my brother and sister, believer, but they're hiding in caves in different places. They're running from the life. The FBI most wanted. CIA, the FBI are looking for them. So the earth is a mess, my brother and sister. The church is not going to be here. Okay? Yes, we will see the three signs that the Lord, when I asked the Lord if we're going to see that, he said yes, before the rapture, the earthquake in California, the eastern tsunami, and the war in Israel. The war in Israel is about to start in a week or two, according to what's coming out of Israel. You know, again, there were the weeks before the word of Israel began. One or two is what the word of them speaking around, which they've been saying weeks past that this war is imminent, that this war has to happen against Iran, my brother and sister. And so they brought Benjamin Netanyahu to start this war with Iran with international support, which with what the UN approved last week, they're not going to get international support. Under the law of the UN, they cannot get it. United States cannot support Israel. No country can support Israel that are signing into the UN according to international law, my brother and sister. I don't know how okay it will be if, let's say, United States, who was one of the nations who did not support it, what the UN passed against Israel, an example. What happened if the United States decide to help Israel? What will be the outcome? I think it will be no good. And there's a prophecy that the UN building is going to be moved to Europe. My brother insisted. That can cause the building to be moved. Okay? They have even said that there already a building being built in Europe for the UN to move it out of New York. Okay? And they've been waiting for the right opportunity. This will be the right opportunity if Israel, if United States goes against UN's law, they will use that against the United States and then move the building to Europe and then form a different coalition. It's going to be a mess. And we're already seeing all the changes, all the mess that are happening in regard to all this. Sister Celeste just put a word yesterday about food crisis. Food crisis coming. I'm going to play this last in the last hour. Food crisis coming to this nation. But it's not just this nation. The world is going to experience food crisis. My brothers in Colombia, they need to get ready. In Australia, Mexico, Canada, anyone around the world, Spain, you need to get ready with food supply. Don't wait. Because I just heard the Lord say yes. Thank you, Lord. The whole earth is going to experience this mess. Worldwide, a food shortage, power outages, which we are about to experience in the United States, power outages in the main city, because our power company will not have enough coal to keep the power running, to keep our city running here. The end of November and December, in maybe January, even all the way through February. We don't know how far the elite are willing to put this out, because the question is, they're allowing it to start in November 23rd, right up by the 24th, no more diesel. And then they're going to have to start doing all these power outages in a different city. How far down the line are they willing to go? I've been researching information, and what I found out in February, they say 5 million barrels can come online of diesel in February. Still not enough. Okay? So we can spear a month down the line, diesel shortage, because what's happening in Ukraine, and power outages in the main city. So 23 can be a year like the Lord showed me back in 2020 of darkness. Remember that? Remember what the Lord showed me for 2023? I saw darkness in the United States. I believe it was summer 2023 when I saw it. But I saw it in 2023. I saw power outages. If you go back to the archive, you see that I saw power outages. Without me knowing, why were we starting here on November 23rd of this month? In 2020, the Lord showed me power outages all over the U.S. I didn't understand what I was seeing. I just saw power outages. I saw cities with no power in the United States, all over the country. Why would the Lord show me this in the way he showed me? My brothers, remember I also saw martial law coming right after that? So whatever it be in plan, my thinking was when I saw this in 2020, well, that means that the church is not going to be around for all this, because I didn't see no Christian when the Lord showed me this, which led me to think that, well, we're going to be out of here before all that mess comes. Okay? I hope we are not around. Because seeing power outages all over the city of the United States, main cities, and the Lord just said yes to me. I'm telling you, he's never wrong. He never, if you follow his guidance, every time he shows you something, you can expect that. You don't know how things come to be this way, but the Lord knows how. When he showed me this stuff, I didn't think that November this month of this year, 2022, this mess will begin. I didn't know. He just showed me that in 2023 will be power outages in the United States. And now things are making sense. The elite has been planning to let diesel fuel run out for us to go into 23 with no diesel. I mean, go into this winter with no diesel, and then they'll make excuses during down the line that because of Ukraine, they're already blaming Russia. They're already blaming Ukraine. The reason why we have no diesel in the United States, well, we're going to run out of diesel completely. The only diesel left that they will have to try to preserve is the emergency backup diesel that the government has, that if they decide to put it out in the public, which Biden said he's going to let the public use some of that, it will only last 9 hours. Millions of barrels that could be used for emergency, he wants to put it out to waste it in 9 hours. That's a poor plan right there. That's a very poor plan. Because if they care for the people, they will say, all right, let's keep this emergency diesel supply until we can get more, and let's use it for hospital. Let's use it for nursing home. Let's use it for school system. Our school system are about, our buses are all mainly out of diesel. Very few schools have electric buses. But if our main power companies cannot supply power to the school system for the buses that are electrical, that needs to be charged in order for them to bring children to school, they're about to stop our school system after November 23rd. Can you believe that? Our school system, buses, will have no diesel to pick up our children to bring them to school. Now everything is going back online again, like they did back in 2020. A whole year, everyone going online, my brother and sister. Now the children are going back to going to school online, which is okay with us. It's fine with the parents. Okay? But how long are they going to keep the school in the country without diesel before our children can return to school. No one knows. We're talking about months. It might even be years. I said to my wife, the only thing I remember Father saying, it's over. It's over for you. It's over. My brother insisted. God told me it was over a few months ago. And I keep reminding you. Father, the Lord said it's over. Father said it's over. And the witness that you, a matter is established according to the word. My brother insisted. It's over. There's no... The Lord told me a few weeks ago, I remember, that the 3 days of darkness were very close. Okay? If the 3 days of darkness happened during these power outages, wow, that will be difficult for us, for the families. My brother insisted. But since the Lord and the Father said it's over in the 3 days of darkness, also the judgments are close. The earthquake in California, the eastern tsunami. God help us. If the eastern tsunami happened in these power outages, that will complicate everything. I'll be honest with you. That will make life more difficult for people. Because with I was thinking that if we still have power, power in the main city, if we have to go down and with this tsunami and help our other family and people, my brother and sister, we will be able to help them if we still have power. But if we have no power, it's difficult for us to stretch our hand to other people who will be in darkness, who will be in the middle of a mess of a hurricane. I say hurricane, I said earthquakes, tsunami. It's really difficult to help people during this time, my brother and sister. Yes, people are going to burn their couches, their share, in order to try to stay hotter in their houses. But they can also end up burning down their buildings, the house. Because most of the homes in the U.S. are not, the way they used to be, where you can burn inside your house, they had all the chimneys and all the stuff has been removed. And all the part of the north houses and home, all the chimney has been removed. So cooking inside or burning wood inside, you're talking about over 90% of the home, they have removed all the chimneys up in the north, my brother and sister. 90% of the homes of the people were without a power because of the problem with diesel. Our main company cannot deliver the coal with the diesel truck because there's no diesel. So they have to cut down on the power in all the main city. So all the main homes will have no power. They're going to try to keep power in the hospital, ambulance, fire department. No guarantee, but they're going to try. No guarantee. My brother and sister. That means all main stores will also be shut down. Someone has been seeing a lot of looting coming up, like I seen. When the Lord showed me 2023 back in 2020, I saw a lot of looting. I saw people running outside and to looting other people's home, looking to... With a lot of power outages, people will break to people's windows and door and steal whatever they have. So the mess of these power outages that are coming are going to cause in the United States. Now, again, pray. Pray for you and your family. Stay inside. If you know you're not able to go to work, don't worry about that. Just ask the Lord to provide you whatever you are going to need in this time. My brother and sister, and if because of the power outages, we have no power to come on the air of the Lord's hour, this audio, please download them tonight. Download them this week before the 23rd. Download this audio. Keep them on your computer because you don't need internet if you have this audio to play it on your computer as a reminder. Maybe you need encouragement as a reminder because a lot of people will lose hope. The Lord has talked about these power outages for years through his prophet, that they were coming and that people will have no internet and they will have no cell phone. For some reason, there will be no power for the cell phones. Maybe in the first week or two, they'll try to keep the tower running for cell phones. But because they don't want people calling the emergency line all the time, they might bring the cell phones down too. My brother and sister, these elite don't care. depopulation of what's in their heart and mind. They think there's too many people on the earth. Hallelujah. Remember, I will be praying for my brothers and sisters. Please keep us in prayer here too. If we're, and more likely, with what is coming, there will be no internet, no power for the computers. My brother and sister, what I done this week is I was able to buy these small heaters. Let me see if I can get the information on eBay. I looked them up on Amazon, but on eBay, let me see, for local companies, because you can get them from local companies in California. I believe also New Jersey has them. I will advise you to order them. You could connect a solar panel to it, and they will produce heat. Not bad, really good. Okay, because I have a greenhouse. Okay, I have a greenhouse, and I connected two of them. Okay, my greenhouse is about 20 by 40. 20 by 40 is my greenhouse. 20 wide and 40 long, 40 feet long. Okay, with a clear plastic all over. And I got two of these heaters running. The temperature, I've been checking the temperature daily. It's in the 80s. Okay? It's in the 80s, my brother and sister. I put them indoors and everything. And I've been running them. They've been running all day long. When the light comes out early in the morning and it hits a solar panel, the solar panel about 240 watts. Okay? I'm going to test another 180-watt panel that I also have in the shed that I have not used for years, but I'm going to use that to test it also. I believe 180-watt panel you could use to run this heater. These heaters are 100 watt, okay? I put it in the chat room, so you can go ahead and look them up online. You can, they have them in New Jersey, I believe it is. New York, okay? You can order them from New York. Amazon also have these heater. You can use them for your house, okay? For your house, okay? They are small, but in the daylight, there is going to be light from the sun, and you can use that to heat up your home. My brother and sister, let me give you the link in Amazon. Okay? You may want to, they will run for 10,000 hours. I calculated 10,000 hours is 1 year. 1 year. Okay? You can order 3 or 4, and if you only need to keep the temperature in your house over 70 during the days, okay, even if your temperature goes into the 80, open your windows a little in the winter and use them. But try to get yourself a couple of solar panels, connect them directly to these small heaters. It has a little fan attached to it. You can run it straight from the solar panel. I'm using a dial in between them. A dial is, I think it's a 20-amp dial. So the dial can take most of the heat from the solar panel and it sends the power to the DC power to these heaters that are DC, and they run all day long and produces enough heat nonstop from the morning to the afternoon with no problem. No problem. And that's why you need heat for your house. So I already ordered some more for my house. I haven't installed them because they're still, I just ordered them. I'm going to get them. As soon as I get them, I'm going to install them somewhere in my house, where the heat can be sent into my house from the solar panel into the house and keep it running all day long. That will keep my family and I warm during the days. During the nights now, it's a bit more complicated but if you keep your house really warm in the night, in the 80s, when the night comes, if you keep all your window closed, your temperature may drop to the 60, no less than that, and your house will stay warm during the night. I mean, you can cover yourself wear jackets, wear sweater, whatever you can, and keep yourself warm for the night. And then as soon as the morning comes, the heater will turn on right away. It will get the power from the sun to the solar panel, and you will keep your house warm all day long, which is, I'm okay, and my family and I will be okay for the winter. I wanted to give this to the people. I already had tested it in my greenhouse. Temperature was even close to 100 and when the sun is hitting the greenhouse directly, and I keep them running straight. They work. If you buy them, try to buy them 100 watt or 150 watt. Don't try to go to the 200 watt or 250 watt because it requires a bigger panel. And you don't want to go there. You want to keep it because they produce a lot of heat constantly. Buy the 100 watt heater with the little fan. Buy three or four of them. Use two of them in case one of them burns out. And try to keep it from close to any wood, cardboard, anything that can cut on fire in case one of them would burn out and will cut on fire. You can turn it off quickly, okay? And they're not dangerous, but because the quality is not the best, they're not bad because I've been running them now straight for 3 days in my greenhouse, and they're working fine, no problem, okay? The solar panels, because the solar panel will provide the power for the little heater to be producing heat constantly with just simple light. You don't need the sun hitting the panel directly. Just light from the outside, from the cloud, will hit the solar panel. And the solar panel don't need to be the best. Any cheap solar panel that are 150 to 250 watt that are cheaper now, especially those that are used that are being discontinued, and those were made, some of them, for 25 and 30 years. Some companies have used it for 8, 10 years, and they still got 15 years to be used. I don't think we're going to be here, my brother and sister, another 15 years or another 5 years or whatever you can get out of the solar panel to warm your house, use them. Use them. Be wise. Prepare yourself for your family. The elites are wicked. They're evil. They want to see a lot of people in this winter dies. And even in the coming years to come, they don't want our power to keep running. They want depopulation. And this is the way they're thinking to get it. Running out of decent, the government not having a plan on how to help the people means they don't care. They have asked Biden, Kamala Harris, then them, and what they're going to do. They don't have an answer for anyone. The 2030 is around the corner. It's about to come. No diesel, no food delivery. You know, so many companies will close down because of no delivery. And it's so much that is going to happen in this month and the months to come. Before just this year is over, so much is happening, my brother and sister, and you can already see it. I can only remember what the Lord said. It's over. What Father said, it's over, my brother and sister. Okay? The bride, the Father, the Lord is about to take it. It's one of the last prophecy I heard from the sister that said, body of Christ, body of Christ. The Lord has said to her, the Father is about to give the Lord the order to take his bride out of the way. And that I know, my brother and sister, because what I feel being in the millennium and in heaven is that that's where our life is going to be soon. Walking with my friend Daniel, my brother and sister, he said that he was telling me that we are about to enter to be together, my friend waiting for me. And remember that he's in heaven, okay, talking to someone there, not someone here, talking to someone there, up there. It makes it clear. I already have heard from two. I heard from another minister up in heaven a few weeks ago that he says to me, Elvie, you brothers are about to be in here. Okay? You're about to enter here, to be in here already. Do not dismay, he says to me. You're about to enter. Okay? You know this, right? And I say, yes. Praise the Lord. The bride is about to be in out of here. These three signs are about to happen quickly. They're about to just... One began, the other one following. Boom, boom, boom. Look, Israel already saying that sooner than Netanyahu enters into office, the war will begin within a week or two. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Netanyahu is entering office already. And the last leader, Naftali, was saying that soon as they establish a new government with Netanyahu, he was saying in an interview, the word must begin, and there can be no delay, okay? My brothers, no delay. So he said that everything is ready for it. So as soon as Netanyahu come in, the RDF, everyone is ready in Israel. All the soldiers have been there. They've been training already these past weeks and months to begin their attack on Iran. And it is because Iran have built several bases, military bases on the ground, to begin to launch heavy-duty missiles against Israel to attack Israel from different positions, that if Israel don't get themselves ready for it, they can lose Tel Aviv and part of Jerusalem. And then, you know, they don't want to have high cuts, high death, a lot of people dying, my brother and sister. That's what they don't want. Because if they attack Tel Aviv and Jerusalem from the different positions, Hamas has over 157,000 missiles pointing to Tel Aviv. So once Iran attacks from one part, from different positions, and then Hamas launches a missile, then the protection that Israel has will go crazy like it happened last year. And all these buildings in Tel Aviv will be destroyed. Many lives, maybe even the millions can be lost. Millions of lives in Israel can be lost. And that's what they're saying. If millions of lives are lost in Israel, it will all be for nothing. And that's what they don't want. That's why they need a leader like Netanyahu who can gather other people, other nations to join them and support them and make it easier for Israel to overcome Iran, which there are people that believe that will be impossible. That will take God. And that's what it's going to have to take, really. From what the Lord showed me, Jesus being in the sky in that revelation, fighting with Israel, and I saw Iran, like the sin of the sea, army coming down from the ground to attack Israel, all kinds of tanks and planes and drones and weapons and missiles coming to Israel. Literally, I would think there's no way Israel can fight them, so many of them, because there are other nations joining them. Egypt has F-16 and F-15 from the United States, plenty of them, that they're going to use it to support Iran. So they've been planning this for long. And this is the worst part, that Israel suspect that this is what they've been doing, because they've been saying it on Iranian television. The leader once in a while will speak out something they're not supposed to speak out, what they're planning against Israel. And they say that this time Israel will be no more. It's the word that they're using on Iranian television, my brother and sister. And that lead to the leader in Israel to understand that this time they have to have a big coalition supporting them. But right now, who will be willing to support it? Nobody, practically. Five nations. And if they go against the UN's law, the UN will move out of New York, which the Lord already has shown the UN moving, packing, and moving out of New York. That means the United States is going to make that mistake soon and go against UN international law. My brother and sister, it's going to get ugly sooner than later. I believe what begins in this month, in the 23rd of this month, in the United States, it will begin to set reality on people that have been sleeping like there's no tomorrow. Why is the Lord allowing things to go this way? Because too many people sleeping, who unless they see, they won't repent. They won't get into fasting. They won't get into true repenting with the Lord. They need to see. And these are people that their name is in the book of Lamb, and the Lord wants to bring them home. But they're still sleeping because they think they haven't seen no judgment. They haven't seen no sign happening. They've been hearing the prophet for many years. Nothing has happened. And they think, well, God keeps saying, but nothing happens. What are we supposed to do, they say? No. We're supposed to be repenting even if we don't see it. But now is the time. The Lord's been saying this. Now is the time that people are going to see. But it's because they haven't been getting ready spiritually, some people. When they begin to see it, can they handle what their eyes are going to see? Can you see millions of people dying of cold in the winter? Children and adults, elders, can you handle seeing them dying? and you not being able to do anything for them. It's going to be tough. My brothers and sisters, God had never been wrong. God had never let anyone wrong. He had always had told people the truth. Whether they believe it or not, he had always put the truth first before his people. And had let them know, this is coming, my children, prepare. Even years ahead before it comes, to have people repent and prepare. Because the healing that you need, when you go through this worst time, when you go and see your neighbor dropping deadness to you, that can cause so much harm to your even spiritual life if you haven't been praying and repenting. Some people, when they see stuff like this, they blame God and they stop praying, they start repenting. They're not strong. When you are preparing, you're building your spiritual muscle, as some people say, to pray and fasting before it happens, years before it happens. So when it comes, it doesn't caught you by surprise, like the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians. Hallelujah. That we are not at the night to be sleeping. We're children at the light, he says. My brother and sister, you should already been repenting. You should already been seeking the Lord. Building your spiritual life. So when these emergencies come, you are strong to deal with it. You are strong to lay a hand to someone and say, you know what, this is temporary, let's pray. And you lay hand on people. And you say, get up. Yes, your son died, your father died, your mother died, your brother died, your sister died. But you know what? This is not the end. God has not left you. God has not forsaken you. Here, I'll give you a hand. Let's pray together. Let me lay hand on you. Let's fast together. Let's call upon the name of the Lord in which we will be saved. The Lord can deliver us from the worst. The Lord will be with us through the worst time. The Lord will be with us through the cold, bad weather that we're in. As you're shaking, your body is shaking, and you give them blankets, and you give them jacket, and you help them. Let's burn some wood outside. Let's get a can. Let's throw wood in there. Let's put a match in there. Let's do this together. Let's help one another through this difficult time and trust the Lord through it. He will help us. He will not forsake us. He will supply our need according to his riches and glory. You will be strong if you've been repenting, if you've been seeking the Lord. But if you've been doubting, if you've been like Thomas, when the disciple said, the Lord we have seen, oh, I'm not going to believe unless I put my finger on his side. My brother and sister, doubting Thomas, he was not strong. He was weak. He was weak. My brother and sister, but the Lord is so merciful that Thomas' name was in the book of life, and the Lord wanted to save him. And the second time he appears to them, Thomas, hallelujah, the Lord rebuked his unbelief, hallelujah, and told him to be a believer, hallelujah. Come and put your finger in my side, hallelujah. Many people are like Thomas right now, that they need to see to believe. Well, we are in November, and November 23rd, diesel will run out in the United States. Although doubting Thomas, my brother and sister, I wish I can see the faith after November 23rd. And they began to see, experience of winter with no heat and no power. I don't want to make fun of them, no. But I want to pray for the doubting Thomas. I want to pray for those, my brother and sister, hallelujah, that will go through this not having the faith, the muscle that they needed to go through it. Our country is going in through a difficult time. And the Lord wanted to get so many ready, so many in repenting, so many in his word and his promise. But they did not listen. They did not commit it to the Lord. They, like Thomas, doubted whether what his brothers was telling him, whether it was true or not. That lest he will see what Peter, what Matthew, what Luke, what John was talking about, he will not believe. We got so many doubting Thomas among us. So many doubting Thomas in our stay in our churches among us, my brother and sister. I will ask you tonight to begin to pray for those doubting Thomas that are about to see judgment with their own eyes. Lack of diesel, lack of food supply, lack of power, outages everywhere. It's so much a mess. Without homeland security, no delivery can we make after the 23rd. It tells you that that was planned. Look it up online. Go ahead, look it up. Plan, at least I planned this. My brother and sister, depopulation is their agenda. Top of their agenda, depopulation. They don't care. There's only one that cares that went to the cross. And it's our Lord, Jesus Christ. Commit your life to him. Don't be like Thomas anymore. If you've been doubting the Lord, it's time that you need to repent. We still got a week or two before the 23rd comes around. And before this mess comes, my brother and sister, commit to the Lord. The Lord said it's over. Father said it's over. We have to see. We have to see. Beginning at the Shia, I talked about, Father began to talk to me about seeing. And I began to talk this year, my brother and sister, about seeing. There are things we are going to see this year. And I've been waiting. Things I heard him say that we were going to see. My brother and sister, we are about to begin to see things that many people thought we were not going to see in this country. It's all been planned by the elite. The Babylonian system, the Antichrist system, one depopulation. They don't want to go into the Great Tribulation with the millions of people they have today. No, my brother and sister, it's been the mercy of God that we're here. Been the mercy of God that we are alive. I believe it was in 2020 that God began to speak to me about things that we were going to see. See. Because he knows that people have been doubting and doubting and doubting, like doubting Thomas. Thomas, the Lord we're seeing. He didn't believe him. It's a lot of people this way, doubting and doubting, and think that doubting is okay. It's part of life. It's part of being a Christian. No, we repent now in unbelief. We repent pride. We repent these things that we know are not pleasing to the Lord, are not pleasing to God, is not helping us in any way, shape, or form. My brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. Here, Sister Celestial, whom the Lord been revealing to her these things that are coming that are so close. Hallelujah. My brother and sister that we expect to see very soon. I will be back on Tuesday, God willing, with our Bible study. I will continue all the way to the 23rd of this month to alert people in case someone missed the program tonight and they have not heard. Please warn your family. Look up information. I call my family in New Jersey. I let them know. Even my brother who drives a truck every day did not know. And I said, have you heard the news? Go ahead. Go on YouTube and put it on. What's coming with no diesel on the 23rd? Listen to all the news and all the information. Listen to experts. Listen to people from the government talking about it. People are getting ready, those that don't want to go through it and lose a lot. Bible insisted. And so it's coming. It's close. We need to be ready before it's too late. Join us on Tuesday night. God willing, Sister Body will be back on Wednesday. If not, she'll be the following week. Brother Body will be back on Friday. My brother and sister, I will be back on Sunday. I'll be back Tuesday. I'll be back if we still have power until the 23rd, I will do emergency program is what I will do. It will be emergency preparedness. Emergency preparedness until the power outages begin to happen. If you see on the news people from other states like California or other states, power outages for North Carolina, you see that we will have no power, I will not be on the air. If we get power like an hour or two, I will go and update the pages. I will write in front of the pages what's going on here in North Carolina with the power outages. My brother insisted, I will try to keep people informed as much as we can. I will post information on Facebook just to keep people up to date. On the LordTower.org, I will also, in front of the page, if possible, if I'm able to go online, if we have internet, I will go also and put up information. My brother and sister, the same, to keep people up to date as much as we can where these power outages come up. But Duke Energy in North Carolina is planning to cut back power outages in our main city after the 23rd because they will not have enough power. So think about it. Amen.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. I would recommend if you are a new subscriber that you can use the playlists that are on this channel on Brighteon, BitChute, and YouTube. And some of the more recent playlists that have been featuring on the channel for at least the last month would be the playlist on Vice President Kamala Harris. You might want to look at that. The Lord has been bringing forth a lot of sobering words concerning the presence of that lady in the political landscape of the United States and what we can expect to see from her in the near future. You should also look at the Russia and China playlist. The Russia and China playlist is the most important playlist on the Master's Voice because that details the end judgments of the United States and what it will be like when God gives the country over for judgment for sin to be defeated and captured by the twin horns, as he called it, of Russia and China. Today, the prophecy that I'm looking at, it sort of fits into, in fact, no, it totally fits into the coming beast system. So I said that I would be collecting all the prophecies that give a future look at details of what the beast system would look like. And this is, I think, the only prophecy that is like this that I have. It is called A Food Crisis is Coming, and I got this prophecy, I would say, exactly almost a year ago, September the 22nd, 2021. And let me go right into it. The banner scripture is this. Now, in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Acts chapter 11, verses 27 to 30. So it's saying that at a particular time, a famine came, and it was foretold by a prophet among them that there would come a great hungering famine all over the world. And then it says that the famine took place in the days when I think Claudius was emperor. And so it says that when this famine came to pass, the disciples made a value decision that each one will contribute more if he could afford more, less if he could afford less. And they would make a care package or a relief package and send it to those of a similar faith with them who were living in Judea. And they used Barnabas and Saul to carry that care to them. The second scripture is this. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Matthew 6, verses 25 to 27. And this is Jesus speaking to who he knows and understands are highly influenced and men and women who easily get anxious about life. There's none of us who can deny that life brings with it anxiety. But what Jesus is saying in this passage here, as he's addressing, telling us not to worry about what we will eat and what we will drink or worry about what we put on our body, Jesus is addressing what causes a lot of existential angst in people. We worry about the basics more than anything else. We worry about the day-to-day more than anything else. How are these bills going to get paid? How are these children going to be educated when they're pricing school fees right out of the reach of most modern parents today? How will we keep body and soul together if the money keeps devaluing every 5 seconds, and yet they keep telling us that we're not in a recession? How are we going to handle a global crisis? And now on top of that, we are looking at two things Jesus told us not to worry about. what we will eat or what we will drink. So I had this dream, and this dream highlighted a lot of things to me. And one of the things that this dream highlighted to me very clearly, I have many dreams in which I am running. A lot of dreams in which I am forced to relocate. I am forced to hide. I am forced to do the most to conceal my identity because of what type of country I live in. And partly, and I cannot pretend that I don't understand it, because of what type of task I do for the Lord. If the Lord was sending me here with, you're going to be rich and you're going to be famous prophecies, then obviously I wouldn't have to go into the kind of life that I often see happens further into the New World Order. But God was showing me how dangerous and murderous modern America is, even without the beast system being established. This is a world all on its own, this one continent of murder, spying, threats, and serious intimidation behind the scenes. God was showing me in this prophecy that many ordinary people in this country are caught in a cat and a mouse game for their very lives. Their families are endangered when they speak up. They lose their lives if they become whistleblowers. Sometimes they're forced to go on the run and take up a foreign citizenship in order to stay alive, just because they exposed the wickedness of, we'll just call it the enterprise, because the U.S. government is definitely not the normal political animal that most countries are used to. It definitely is an enterprise working to firmly establish itself until it opens one day like a rotten coconut and show us the Iron Kingdom beneath. So this dream showed me that there are very powerful interests out there in this country, and those interests think nothing of extinguishing human life like a little cheap candle if anyone tries to expose or reveal their end times plans before they're ready. This prophecy is about food insecurity, famine, the shortening of food, the disappearance of basic food, and how more and more people are going to end up having to go on welfare. I have spoken of this many times, that God shows me in the dream the typification of homelessness and poverty as you see it in the American movies. So you're watching a movie and you can always tell the homeless character, because he's going to be wearing so many clothes and bundled up so much if it's winter, and there's always these gloves that they wear that have no fingertips. So it's the cut off fingertip gloves that you know, ah, this person is homeless. I saw that there came the rise of homelessness in every state, and I have seen that represented in so many dreams, that people will not be able to hold body and soul together. They're going to lose their ability to sustain a home, a family, a mortgage, and even a living wage. And when those times come, the government, being the brokest of them all, will not be able to keep up the pretense. And I saw that many families fell through the cracks. And so also God was reminding me when I woke up and I was transcribing this prophecy, he was reminding me how it will start. And we are already in it. But this is from September 2021. So let me read. Certain foods will start being less and less affordable. That means inflation, high prices will start to erode, rub away, erase the ability of many people to be able to afford the type of food that they are used to. Either they will still be able to get it, but they will have to get it in a much less quantity, or they will not be able to access it at all. They will have to cut it off their home menu as a luxury. And then he says these foods will become luxuries, and then one day they are no longer going to be available. And this is meat, fresh vegetables, butter, oil, sugar, and bread. A change in America, some prophecy like that, where I saw that many items became black market items. So America is going to develop a black market economy. This will not just be for maybe outlawed things, banned item, illegal items, and then you always have to know a guy who knows a guy. Food is going to go along with the banned and illegal items, in that it will take a black market economy to get you a little butter, or to get you a little fresh cream, or to get you a little milk, or to get you a piece of meat that you can put in the food, at least so your family can have the taste of meat. It sounds fantastical because this is a nation of plenty. Yes, there is food insecurity in America. Some people can't pay the bills. Some people can't afford a decent meal. We have a lot of homeless shelters. We have a lot of food pantries. Nevertheless, this nation is not starving like many nations are acquainted with widespread systemic hunger and famine. And yet God says that that is coming. So I saw that America began to experience the type of creeping scarcity that eventually forced a black market, because there will always be people with money and they need goods and services and they're going to get that. And there's also going to be people who may not have money, but they're connected to people who are higher up who can say, hey, we got you guys a packet of meat. We got you two cartons of milk. We got you a little butter for the kids and things like that. So it will definitely become a who do you know type of life. And I saw that people were having private access for extremely high sums of money to basic items because the government's ability to provide had absolutely tanked. There will come a time where the lies of these people, whoever is sitting in the seat at that time in their little game of musical chairs, they will not be able to hide their lies anymore. They will not be able to make any kinds of announcements that anyone will believe. You will have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to believe what you will see them saying when they stand at that little blue background to bring yet another story. No one will be buying it because there will come a time when the realities of the things that I'm speaking here now will be crushing people so bad that no one will risk being fooled by them. But for now, there are two camps, those who swallow everything and those who know that it's all poison. And so when these items began coming out of circulation, the first response, God was showing me how it will be. People will just start being irritable, and all they will do is complain because they will think it's supply chain backlog. And you still see that now. You go on Facebook, and you will see these expert mamas telling you, oh, no, we can't get this. It's the supply chain. Why? Because they have drunk the Kool-Aid. TV told them that there is a supply chain backlog. But men who are farmers and women who are preppers know that this is no supply chain backlog. The supply chain backlog has, prophetically, as the Lord said, morphed into yawning shortages as they burn down the chicken houses and burn down the corn processing places and kill all the cows mysteriously, and then said that the cows who have been in the heat all their lives were suddenly too hot and decided to expire. So some people will be giving the usual thoughts, but God says that they don't even realize that watching their food supply dry up is like people who don't realize that when you see the sea draining back just before a tsunami, it's time to run. He said they'll just be complaining and saying, well, why don't they sell this anymore? And that's curious. Why have they stopped making that? And he said they will utterly lack the recognition of what national famine and what national starvation looks like when it starts happening. And he says only when it begins to take the supermarkets longer and longer to restock the shelves and their new habit, spacing the products apart like little soldiers so that we can't see that the shelves are empty. Remember, this is 2021. It's a year ago that this was said. So all of this, it may look like it's happening now, but the Lord was saying it back then. So he says only when it begins to take longer and longer for retail goods to get to us, and only when it takes longer and longer for the supermarkets to replace what we buy, and then when they do replace, it's way less coming back to the shelf. He said that's when it will begin to trickle down into people, that they are actually watching the economy decline in real time, and this is what it looks like. This is what a nation that is no longer able to feed itself in the coming future looks like. These supermarket prices and supply chain problems now. And then he says that when people finally get it, the reaction to that will be panic. And this is when the preppers will be sitting back, cracking the cold one and saying, Marge, we did good. So this dream that the Lord gave me, it was about GMO food. It was about the use of the strangest thing that I have ever seen. not only genetically modified food, but I'm going to give this dream exactly as it was, even if I don't have the deep, full scientific knowledge about it to understand exactly what it is. I know that I do not need to wait and see when the Lord says something to me. I absolutely know that when the Lord speaks, because I tell people that God is speaking from the point of eternity. So to God's mind, every word that he says is already completed. It's already done. When God was giving a 17-year-old Joseph dreams, there was nothing about, oh, Joseph, let's wait and see if it's real. Joseph, let's wait and see if it will happen. When God speaks, he absolutely knows that his word is law. It's a done deal. And for me, when I'm spoken to, I absolutely know that whether I see it with my eyes or not, this is truth. This is real, and it will happen. They are genetically modifying things, not only with the normal splicing and stuff like that. I'll leave it for the right time. So when I was writing down the dream, when I was having the dream, it started with the Holy Spirit saying to me, aphids, aphids, aphids. That's A-P-H-I-D-S. It's a type of bug. It's one of those many hundreds of billions of bugs that eat hardworking farmers' food in the fields. Pests that eat, harvest, and afflict crops. And I was understanding in the dream that one of the many factors that will reduce the food supply is these pests will begin to gobble up the harvest. This is part of biblical punishment. When pests like locusts and other things like that begin to eat up the yields of a country, and every year the food, the soy, the corn, the wheat is dropping, that is a sign of judgment upon the land. And so God said that locusts and other afflicting insects will destroy America's crops and also world's crops. It will not only happen here. And I dreamt that I was walking. So I was walking, and then suddenly I discovered a field. I don't know how I got from walking to being in this field, but I was in the middle of millions of hectares of GMO food. Sweet peppers, corn, wheat, all of it was GMO. And I don't know how I came to be walking in the countryside and ended up in this field, but suddenly I was there and I could feel that this food was not the normal GMO. This was highly toxic, killing food. I'm saying that early so we can understand what I'm talking about and why the things that happened after happened. Killing food, food that was deliberately being grown at a level of toxicity where you just ingest a little bit of it over time and it was curtains for you. I was shocked to see this. And I stuck out my hand toward the ground. And yucca, they call it yucca, but it's also known as cassava. It came right out of the ground obediently into my hand. But when I held it, cassava usually has a good weight to it, a good heft. But when I held this thing, it was paper light. It was the weight of one sheet of paper, not even a ream. It was so light. As soon as I held that thing, 10 feral men. 10 men like beasts, like dogs, like wolves just appeared in that field from nowhere. Men of all races, Hispanic, black, white, you name it. They started chasing me. These people were like wild dogs. I'm not going to leave this point out. Yes, these men were wearing suits. They were dressed in men's clothing. They had men's shoes. Their heads were dogs. Man, dog, body. Dog hands, dog feet. Part of the weirdness of dreams is that you even have time to wonder, dog's feet are very small. How is that man keeping those male shoes on? Dog feet, dog hands, dog face, wild, angry dogs, and yet mannish body. And they were wearing good quality suits. Somebody had paid for these assassins to be very well dressed, but they were not full people. And this thing had shades of Bond, James Bond. I was running all over the world as these assassin men were chasing me, and all of this is going somewhere. I ran to Italy. I hid out in various parts of America. I ran to Peru. I hid all over the world. Whenever I could find a hotel to hide in, I hid there. But as soon as I had a small moment to myself, these men would appear. And the way they were hunting me was so targeted that I'm telling you I had to cry out to God. And when I'm saying cry out, I mean that they would sometimes chase me down until I would be at a cliff edge or I would be in an alley and there would be no way. And I would lift my voice and cry to the Lord. As the scripture says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, only with my voice. And he heard me out of his holy hill. And suddenly, supernaturally, I would be in another location. Before I could take a breath, those men would have tracked me to that place. And they were chasing me, but God never let them catch me. I only wanted 10 seconds to examine this root that God had pulled out from the ground for me. Because these people wanted to take this evidence from me. They wanted to kill me and take this evidence from me until at last I ran to Africa. And I mingled with the people, and that's where these dogs just, they were like looking for me. And I ran into a warehouse and I took the yucca from my bag. And then when I took it out, please try to understand, yucca is like a root. So let's say this is the root. The top part crumbled and caved in. So this is the root, but the entire top part crumbled and a very big hole appeared in the yucca. And I was peering in and I saw pests and bugs inside this dried out husk of cassava. And I moved to touch them and they went, they were rattling like the tail of a rattlesnake. They were making a dangerous rattling noise, these bugs and beetle in there. So I snatched away my hand. And then the bugs themselves inside the yucca, they decomposed. And I began to see the very strangest sight. It was like a bouquet of flowers began to grow out of the yucca. And on the head of each stalk, like a strange bouquet, was C and A and different letters, a few letters of the alphabet. And I was just confused. I was so desperate to know what this was that I found that I ran out of that warehouse, forgetting about those wolf dog people. I ran out into the street and I began to cry out, can somebody help me? Can anyone take a look at this and tell me what I found? Please, I found something. It looks dangerous and I need a scientist. Can anyone help? Does anyone know science? Does anyone know genetics? Please help me. What is this that I found? And I was holding some of these stalks because once the bugs died, they were no longer dangerous. They decomposed and out of them grew these stalks with letters at the top, just like a weird child's lollipop. So I took some of them to show witnesses and I was out in the street. What is this? What is this that came out of the food? Does anyone know? And people were ignoring me, but it was a very pointed ignoring. It was the kind of ignoring where if you want to die, Celestial, die alone. People were walking by and they were looking at me out of the corner of their eyes and just moving along. And nobody would acknowledge me, but I kept crying out. And this man who was an Ethiopian, I felt and I could see this man is Ethiopian. He came to me and he said quietly, I'm a scientist. Show me what you have. And we went into the warehouse and a few people from the street who were curious followed us, but I was past worrying about safety. I wanted to know what was this? Why had I been running for my life? What was these bugs? Why had they decomposed? Why had the stalks grown out of them? Because I now realized this is food. Whatever this process was, that it suddenly rotted. If you notice, food rots at stunning rates nowadays. You're in a race to eat all the food that you buy in a week, or you'll be throwing half of it out because it's just... And so, I realized that this thing, whatever it was embedded into the food. And the process is that whatever was inside it is supposed to transform inside the body. But because I've been carrying this yucca next to my body in, you know, these messenger bags, it stayed warm and whatever was inside it just stayed as if it was inside somebody's warm digestive system. And so the bugs changed in my bag and they did not change in the human body as they were supposed to. I showed this man everything and he was careful not to touch anything like I had wisely or unwisely done. But then after it, he gave me a very long look and he said, do you know what this is? And I said, no, I do not. And he said, this is DNA. These alphabets represent blood lines. They are hieroglyphs and bloodlines. These are ancient Egyptian bloodlines that are manipulated into the food as DNA. Where did you get this? And I explained how I found myself mysteriously in that large field, a large field, millions of hectares growing corn, soy, wheat, fruit, and vegetables as far as my eye could see, growing GMO for us all to eat. And the man gave me the same look from the corner of his eye that other people had been giving as they walked about. He said, his eyes were telling me, are you sure about this? Do you want to live? Do you know what can happen to you if you go up against the kind of people who have the kind of money and power that can undertake a vast project like this? And this man had very kind eyes. His face was telling me, you should be very careful in your quest for answers because of where it could bring you. And I thought about those dog men that had chased me relentlessly like that. When I woke up, I was writing down the dream, and the Lord said to me, a global famine is coming. Things are going to get massively out of hand in the areas of agriculture and GMO food. Every kind of ethical line will be crossed, and they will use this convenient banner. This is a crisis situation. You know, we can't always keep the rules. This is a desperate situation that needs to be addressed right now because desperate times call for desperate solutions. The Lord says, just as COVID opened the door for extensive government overreach, overreaches that are still going on now, 2 years later, this situation of severe decline of food supply will give them a chance to manipulate supply chains, globalization, to cause a systemic problem of the rich versus the poor, and it will also give serious power to corporations. Vast sums of money will flow to those who invent these poisonous genetically modified foods for the world's population to eat. And many people will die of the diseases that these false foods cause. People will develop all types of raging diseases from ingesting these GMO products. And so let's look back just briefly at what this man said. This thing inside, the alphabet stalks, which is, I'm sure, just a way that God did in the dream to represent what lives in these new wave products that are coming. He says that these products are going to be grown, not just generally, general market. No, this is a special crop that's going to be grown rather quickly in the future. Why? Because food shortages will make them say there's a demand on the world. 800 million, facillion, trillion are facing food insecurity. We need to meet this threat. Trust the UN, they'll come up with something. We have to bypass the usual testing stage and do something quickly. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Bypassing the normal testing stage and doing things quickly because desperate times call for desperate measures. This man said that the things in the food were ancient Egyptian bloodlines manipulated into the food supply as DNA. Now, where would ancient Egyptian bloodlines come from? Maybe all the missing mummies that are being dug up all over the place. Maybe all of the Nephilim bones that are being denied, that the Smithsonian says they never saw one, even though they always show up every time one is found, but they say they don't know what happened to them. These are just things that we need to be aware of. I'm not even going to call them thoughts. They are documented facts on the internet. So when the Lord said that people will develop raging diseases, the minute he said the phrase raging disease, I began to see something like fire consuming the human body. I mean a very great fire burning up a person from the inside and out. I saw the cells and the organs of this person as if they had literally been set alight. Poison that they had eaten from these corporations' GMO farms. People developed severe inflammation. They developed unknown autoimmune diseases and very aggressive cancers. They began to show all kinds of side effects as a result of eating emergency food, refugee food. It was also called, at the time that it was being given to people, famine relief food. Now, where do we give famine relief? Sometimes when there's wars, when there's insurgency in a nation, when people have to run away, you prep, and then war comes to your country, you run away, and then you don't have anything, and then you're at the mercy of these well-meaning NGOs, who many of them are not well-meaning at all. They are just fronts. One of the things that the Lord said in the older prophecies is that a lot of these NGOs simply exist to traffic children, because who's going to look at the helper of the children as the consumers of the children, the traffickers and sellers of the children? And so the Lord was showing me how so many people died. They had grave and lethal sarcomas. I think that is a type of very aggressive cancer. They had Parkinson's and other rapid degenerative neural diseases. This shocking rise in Alzheimer's over the last few decades. Just shocking how even people who are only in middle age are beginning to show cognitive decline. And this was way before any harms hit any arms in 2020. People have been declining at such a rapid rate, dementia and other neural failure diseases. And God is pointing to food. In the prophecy, Blood to Drink, the Lord said that the food supply in the United States is one of the primary reasons that people have so many disorders, shaking disorders, forgetful disorders, flat out cancer. He said the food is highly toxic in this country, and it is manufactured that way. So let us not be confused about why we lost the labeling war early, while the EU still labels every single thing that they feed people. The Lord says that diseases that are coming will be extremely aggressive because of the high amounts of chemical ingredients and genetic material that will be present in the new wave of GMO foods that are coming. So this backs up exactly what I saw in the dream. The man said bloodlines turned into DNA material and then put into the food. So in other words, maybe a Nuxunamun put into the apples instead of just the normal stuff that they put into the apples to make them GMO. That lady from the mummy, the one who woke up. Genetic material in the food. And he said that people will wither away very fast after consuming these artificial foods. And then, of course, they will say the person is a famine death. He said they will attribute the passing of the person to the famine, and they will refuse to look at the supposed solution to the famine. So, oh no, we lost him because we failed to rehydrate him in time. We failed to feed him in time. And no one will look at the fact that they did feed him for a couple of weeks, and then he just suddenly caught some kind of fifth stage cancer that he didn't have before the famine started, and then passed away in no time. God says that people will be on a very short life expectancy after they have consumed these foods for a short while. He said, and he showed me, that if someone eats this food on an even a moderate or regular basis, in virtually no time, there will be the first onset of disease. Your first diagnosis, and then comes your death. And he said there will be hardly any time between the stages. He said that many people won't even get to the stage of being able to work out a treatment option with a doctor, because the diseases that these foods bring will be super mega pumped up versions of the original disease. So there will be normal sarcoma, and then there will be this 2 to 3 week explosion of sickness. He said an original disease might have given you even 5 to 10 year life expectancy, but he said with these things, when people have eaten the food, it will start to wipe people out in a matter of months. And as I was writing out this prophecy, the Lord was setting on my heart about all the people who die in America blowing the whistle. So I don't speak about it much, but it never passes by me when I sit here and I'm speaking these things and my face is on these messages and people just think they've stumbled to another usual YouTube channel. Oh, God showed me and the Lord told me this, as if I'm here playing a game of click this and like that and follow me into the green merry meadow. I'm speaking of things that are touching people and their children at home. I'm speaking of life and death matters, that even if you paid the ruling structure of this nation and many of these other powerful nations, if you paid good money and said, here, is $1 million. Tell me the truth. They will take your money and say, there's nothing to see here. Move it along. And I'm sitting here, and the Lord is exposing and opening up and revealing those things, and people take it to be, I don't know, cheap, actually. Let me not do the Lord wrong. They take it to be so cheap. Oh, we know this. If you know this, what have you been doing about it? Many people don't have a clue about the amount of evil and hurt and harm that has been caused people who try to speak about this. They have been hastened to their earthly reward early by the kind of people who think nothing of breaking into a home and executing someone and then saying, looks like a burger who came in and cut off all her fingers and toes. Throwing people off the tops of buildings. And all of this, they count on the apathy of the population to keep their hidden hand. God is always talking about this unseen hand, to keep their hand hidden until the time it is expedient. That's when they're going to burst into the limelight and begin to gloat, just like the bad guy gloats at the end of the movie. Many bad guys have lost out in the movie because instead of just going for the jugular, they stand there for 10 minutes going, no one saw that I did this and did that. And that's how the hero always gets a chance to overturn the situation. These will be the typification, and you already see them at these Google conferences. You see them on TED Talk. You see them boasting of how, oh no, human beings are unnecessary and we will upload our consciousness to the cloud. You are watching the architects of a future coming power structure that has no need for our existing power structure. And during the process of getting to their mechanical utopia, they have wiped out a ton of stuff. People who died running, as I was running in this dream, God was laying it on my heart, Celestial. Do you know how many people died with samples that they were brave enough to take? Samples that they were running on the run, trying to find private independent labs that could diagnose the things that something just scratched at them and they felt something about this project isn't right. And they just scooped up a little bit of what they were working with and put it in a vial. And they didn't know that the entire place was wired, monitored, and they tried to run away with that thing, only to go home and find somebody all in black sitting in the couch going, hello, Samantha. Running to find answers, he said. People died trying to find scientists to explain things to them, just like I was crying out. Is anyone a scientist? I found these stalks and things. Does anyone? People have died trying to save America, and all America does is spit on their grave and call them her big fat mic drop word, conspiracy theorist. Don't we deserve everything that's coming? Isn't this the end of hubris, pride, inability to be told the truth? I was feeling the weight of powerful international interests that use various methods of control. They threaten employees who have seen things that they shouldn't have seen. They intimidate people to silence them. This includes telling them that your entire family could end up at the bottom of Lake Erie if you cross us. They destroy people's careers, fire them, blacklist them, make sure they can't get hired anywhere else, and eventually these people end up living in trailer parks under the bridge. They're bitter. They ridicule those who are brave enough to talk. Where are all America's top doctors now? Aren't they on Rumble and Brighteon? Because YouTube has driven them away like pariahs. They're not allowed to speak. I even felt that they are not afraid to endanger whoever they have to endanger to keep them in line if people don't want to fall in line. And they also have hybrid killers. Be aware, the U.S. government, I've already made the video, so I'm just going to say it. These people have bred everything that can be bred with a human being. If it's a salamander, they got a brave private to sign up and say, you're doing this for your country, son. Just drink this lizard slime and let's see what you turn into. And you could be at the edge, the cutting edge of making this nation great again. And five of them drank it, and now they're out there with slimy skin, and they just cut them loose because it didn't work out. Maybe they drank it, and nobody knew until they drank it that even though salamanders are quiet, maybe they're passive aggressive. And when you mix those genetics with a human being, maybe you just get a little rage monkey who starts destroying the labs and eating the technicians. So they have to kill that version and start again with a new bunch of five privates who don't know where the other five privates ended up. Yes, they do this. They do this. Let's be realistic. These movies are not for entertainment. These movies are actually previews, coming attractions of the reality that we will soon all be faced with. The Army and other special forces use hybrid dog people, men who travel with a special unit. Nine of them, human. One of them, wolf boy. And when they penetrate enemy territory and they get to the place where I think military people say, the action's hot, the action's hot. Then all the humans fall back and they just go. And then Wolf Boy takes off everything and transform into a naked running beast. And as the Lord was showing me in that prophecy, chimeras, I will link it below, the nine people just sit around and smoke. And they never worry about half wolf killer man because he always comes back unharmed. Super strength. Super tracking, super smells, insane reflexes of wolf, dog, and other ancient beasts that we may not know about. The Lord has told me quite plainly that I only show you what you can bear, daughter. So imagine almost 500 written prophecies. I've managed to convert almost 300 to video, and God still says that everything I sit here telling you that has people's hearts pounding out their nostrils, he's like, oh no, this is just the part that you can bear, Celestial. May the Lord take his glory for his words. They have all kinds of hunting savage things. And the Lord says that they are not above using them and unleashing them on whistleblowers, people who speak, people who make videos. I have said that the end of this transformation agenda is to wipe out all the talkers because the beast system doesn't like loose ends. And so, poison food, killing food, that's part of the reason that they prize the organic stuff out of the reach of most people. They want us to get the cancer-causing stuff. You have to pay a premium to get real beef, a premium to get real fruit. And they know that not everybody is in that earning bracket. And they're quite happy with it. It's all a system. Engineered global famine is coming. Revelation 6:8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and with the beasts of the earth. So usually when I'm looking at Revelation 6:8, I'm looking at the pestilence part. But now here, this one prophecy that the Lord has given me just unto itself, speaking about highly manipulated food that is backed by super duper powerful money. And the end of it is to take away life from people. Forewarned is forearmed. Knowing is not for us to melt and freak out. It is to make us seek God. These prophecies, if they don't make you seek God, then you truly have an iron spirit and nothing can reach through to you. So this is Celestial with the Master's voice. Thank you for being with me. God bless his people. God keep you. There is so much peace in prayer. Prophecy never takes away the privilege of going to Jesus to say, I'm worried. I'm scared and I just need to spend time in Psalm 91. I just need to spend time in Psalm 23. One thing I have desired that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the temple of the Lord and behold his beauty and inquire in his temple. What stops us from sitting and gazing at the beauty of Jesus? The old people used to sing, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. What is preventing anyone in the midst of all this tumult, in the midst of all this magician sleight of hand? Where does it say that prophecy now caps off your ability to take your heart to your master and sit in his presence and say, with all this, you are still my God. Let me just sit by your feet a while after the children have gone to bed, after this woman has fallen asleep, and seek your face. Lead this family, God. You're the real husband in this family. Lead this family, and I, as the husband, will do what you say. Who says that these things, these avenues, this rest is denied you? It's only if you don't want it. Where would I be with this material if I didn't know where my peace was, my comfort, my confidence? Where would I be? Dear goodness me. Until I see you again, which might just be in a few more hours. God bless you and goodbye.